Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 4:02, we welcome you in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM. Also heard on 107.5 FM and 106.3 FM, the North and South Gyms, respectively, in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, and online at KGYMradio.com. Stick around. We've got a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We're going to give somebody an opportunity to take that off our hands tonight after we chat with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register is with us at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll discuss some interesting developments from Iowa State. A major announcement today from Iowa State Athletic Director Jamie Pollard. And no, it had nothing to do with how the Iowa band was treated Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. But Matt Verderam of FanSided will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Matt is the national NFL writer for FanSided. He also has his own NFL-centric podcast. Lots to discuss, including the end of the Eli Manning era in New York, one of many NFL headlines gracing the front pages of ESPN, CBS, and other sports sites today. You're more than welcome to join us. Either pick up the phone and give us a call or text, as has become the custom, 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Plenty to get into today. I don't know how much we're going to talk about the situation with Iowa and Iowa State and what occurred or allegedly occurred between the Iowa band and some Iowa State fans. There still isn't a whole lot publicly about that. I had an off-the-record conversation with somebody. Actually, it was very one-sided because we couldn't touch base, but they left me a voicemail and provided me with some information. That the only thing I can say here, because the request was for it to be off the record, so I'm not going to get into any details here, but it makes a murky situation all the more murkier. And it basically, at this point, is they said, and Iowa put the release out yesterday. Iowa State says it's the first they're hearing of it, and I don't know whether that's accurate or not, because there's an implication that Iowa State maybe isn't exactly being completely accurate in saying that they weren't aware that there was a problem. This will all eventually blow over, as will memories of last Saturday's game at some point in time. Iowa State is moving on from last Saturday's loss. They had a major announcement today. Alex, it looks like the area around Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum could be getting a facelift in the foreseeable future. It needs one.
A feasibility study is being done, and the higher-ups at Iowa State are handing it over to Jamie Pollard.
I like when... Look, feasibility studies very rarely result in somebody coming back and saying, no, it's not feasible.
Right.
So this is the first step moving forward of essentially completely redoing the area around Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum, Stevens Auditorium. I had never really made the connection. I saw somebody earlier today on Twitter compared it to Kansas City, where you've got Kauffman Stadium and you've got Arrowhead Stadium, where the Royals and Chiefs play respectively, and it's surrounded by nothing but concrete parking. And you sort of look at Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trice Stadium and you go, yeah, it's just nothing but parking around there. And now they're looking at turning this into you've got to fold research into it here. They're going to put some office space, it looks like, some bars, restaurants, sort of a multi-use complex that's going to be used year-round. There would be paved parking for thousands of parking spots, which anybody who traversed the G7 or G8 lots on Saturday after the game when it had become a mud pit will tell you, hey, paved parking, I'm all for it. And most importantly, as you look at the renderings, and we'll see if we can get those up for you on our Facebook page, the KGYM Radio Facebook page. I should have done that earlier today and neglected to do so because, you know, you can't really see what we're talking about here. But when you look at the renderings, this is going to be, if they pull this off, really, really something that I think recruits and prospective recruits' families will view as a very nice gateway to Iowa State athletics. Because right now, you come off Highway 30 onto University. Iowa State does have a beautiful campus. You get to the athletics facilities, which are south of the actual campus. And the athletic facilities, I'm not going to say they're an eyesore, but you just have these two giant concrete entities there in Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trace Stadium and not a whole lot around it. This really, again, if they deem this feasible, and then it's up to Jamie Pollard to rub the nickels together and shake the money tree loose to make it happen, probably with some help from the State Board of Regents and private donors, this really is a game changer for Iowa State.
Yeah, and sort of a unique look to college sports, right? Because this is something that's done in professional towns all the time. And it really brings out a new element to ballparks in professional towns. The best example that I use, Todd, have you been to Great American Ballpark?
Oh, that's not the best example. Give the best example. The best example is Ballpark Village in St. Louis.
I think
I have not been to the Great American Ballpark. I was at the old Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati, which was a dump
right
before they tore it down.
They built the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, and it was just this concrete structure that sort of sat sort of where the old dumpy stadium used to sit, and there just wasn't much to it. There wasn't anything around it. The stadium itself was okay. I'm not going to say that it was a dump or anything. It was okay. It didn't necessarily stack up to some of the other ballparks in Major League Baseball. And I went there about 10 years later, and they had built up the entire area around it with bars and restaurants, and it was completely different. The whole vibe around it was completely different. And that's not something that's really been done, to my knowledge, or at least to any of the college athletics facilities that I've ever been to. So this is a unique idea of bringing that type of thing to college sports and to a college campus, which I like.
Again, Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register will be with us coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. We'll get his thoughts on this and more. We have people on the text line begging us not to talk about the band situation. Whether you like it or not, that is, to me, fascinating. You have Iowa State saying, well, boy, this is a classless press release here. We don't know what's going on. They didn't come and let us know about this at all, and there were no issues. And Iowa is saying, they were aware. And we don't know what the problem was. You've got some people out there saying there was a physical altercation between fans and band members where it was unprovoked by the band members. I'm sorry if you don't find that interesting or if you're tired of hearing about it, but we wouldn't even be talking about it if one of the schools hadn't put out a news release.
Yeah, a very vague one.
So that's part of the issue here.
Yeah.
And the school that put out the news release isn't happy that people like me are talking about the news release, which
makes a lot of sense.
Okay. Quite frankly, this is all stuff that could have been taken care of behind closed doors, which is a tremendous Charlie Rich song if you're unfamiliar with classic country music. Instead, it sees the light of day, and now it seizes a place in the news cycle, and
because it was
it
sent
takes
out
on a life of its own.
Via press release, meaning they wanted it to get into the news cycle.
It does.
My mind is blown here,
Todd. It seems, look, as much as I would like for the game to be over on Saturday and for Sunday, for everybody else to move on to bigger and better things, we've gotten now to the point with Iowa and Iowa State and Cy-Hawk Week where the problems actually are on the other side of the game. Where the week leading up to the game, and if you listened to the program at all last week, you heard me lament the fact that it was boring as all get out because Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz basically engaged in a mutual love fest for one another and each other's programs, and the players weren't saying anything of substance at all. There was no color, no flavor going in. If it weren't for College Game Day, I'm not quite sure how we would have made it through last week. And then you have the game, and then Monday rolls around, and it just seems like all of the hate and vitriol that people had maybe forced, bottled up leading up to the game, maybe the result of the game had something to do with it, I don't know, but it sort of bubbles to the surface 48 hours after the game, and now here we are in this hellscape of people editing Wikipedia to make Keith Duncan the mayor of Ames, and boycotting gas stations and sniping at one another over the treatment. Whose band has been treated worse over the course of time? Because Iowa State fans are saying, well, when I was in the band and we went to Iowa City, we had batteries thrown at us, full cans of beer. Iowa fans or Iowa band members are saying stories about how they were treated when they get to go to Ames. It just, the series isn't going away. They're not going to stop playing football anytime soon. But this behavior between the two fan bases, I think, is the only thing that could possibly ever put the series in peril. And so that's our poll question for you today at kgymradio.com. I want to make sure that I get the verbiage absolutely correct on this, even though I'm the one who authored it. Could unruly fan behavior eventually bring the Cy-Hawk rivalry to an end in football? Yes or no? It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can vote in the poll question by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. And we do have votes on both sides of the spectrum, although 80% of the listeners who have voted so far say no. So the place around Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum, it looks like it's going to be... They've actually compared it to the Power and Light District in Kansas City, See? Which Iowa State fans know well because every March they take over Kansas City for 3 to 4 days.
It's fantastic. I'm a huge fan. When you go to a college sporting event, at least a lot of them, I'll throw a couple out there. You've been to Sun Devil Stadium. Yeah, you have been to Sun Devil.
It's the site of the Cheez-It Bowl, formerly known as the Insight Bowl.
That is really the only college stadium I've ever been to with stuff around it to go to, where it's not just regular tailgating. You pull up your car in the middle of a parking lot and you supply your own food and drink. You can go to restaurants, you can go to certain establishments and get your refreshments there before going to the game. I like this idea. There's not enough of that in college football. I love tailgating as much as the next person, but I also like options. And I also like things being a little bit more spread out and having the chance for people who don't have all the room to tailgate to, I don't know, walk into a restaurant and enjoy a beer and some food before the game. So this is a very unique idea and one that I'm excited to see come to the college level.
I got the email earlier today and I looked at it and I said, well, this is certainly something here. Anytime you see multi-use development, it sort of brings in outside corporate aspects. And I've heard people and seen people describing it as sort of a shopping mall or a strip mall. It looks to me, there was a virtual rendering of it that Iowa State shared today, a two-minute presentation, a sort of a picture, a drone flying over a version of The Sims is how I would describe it. It looks really cool. It looks like there's a mix of bars, restaurants, businesses. There's going to be office space. Obviously, this will be used by various parts of the university, not necessarily just the athletic department, which is key here because I think, and I could be completely wrong on here, I am 91% of the time on this program, and everybody out there will let me know, but if you bring the university in outside of the athletic department, Iowa State University itself, then you're probably able to tap into more money than the athletic department could get to. There are funds that are going to the school that the athletic department can't get its hands on, but be very clear about this. This is an athletic department project, and as such, Jamie Pollard has been put in charge of it. And Keith Murphy, my buddy from WHO-TV in Des Moines, tweeted earlier today that if Pollard pulls this off, save room for a statue of him. And I go back to the first time in the late 90s, early 2000s, that I had ever made the trip to Jack Trice Stadium, completely underwhelmed. Completely underwhelmed. And they've done a very good job of bringing the stadium and the football experience into the 21st century, but this would really redefine that entire area and give you a very, very unique entry point from the south into the university campus and the sports. They're already, I saw the signs over the weekend, the area to the east of Jack Trice Stadium, which is basically nothing but grass and mud at this point, is going to be under development for an intramurals compound where they're going to have an intramural football field, and which I thought the renderings of that looked absolutely stellar as well. But then all of a sudden, on top of that, you drop this. And I know you play 7-6 home football games a year, and you've got basketball games and wrestling in the winter, but you've got Stevens Auditorium, which is within walking distance as well, and they host concerts and recitals and various shows all the time. You also have bus routes. They have the Sci-Ride in Ames. I believe that's what it's called, their version of the CAM bus. It's easily accessible for students, for people who live in Ames. If you build it, they will come. And now it's incumbent on Jamie Pollard to figure out how to pull this off. But Iowa State fans, you have to be looking at some of these renderings, having a hard time comprehending, remembering what things were like 20, 30 years ago, and suddenly this is your new reality. It's splendid if you're an Iowa State fan. Now you got to pull it off.
Yeah, it's another one of those ideas that shows you why Jamie Pollard is so perfect for that school. So perfect for Iowa State. When you have the challenges that Iowa State faced as an athletic department when he took over, you have to think outside the box. And he has done that time and time again. This is completely outside the box. This is something that on an athletic campus, you don't see very much, as I've mentioned, around college sports. And that is that's how you get people interested. That's how you bring new things that are unique, as you said, to Iowa State and get people excited. And I for their sake, I hope that this thing works. Now, the question that I'll have is, how do things operate during the summer? How do things operate on non-football and non-basketball nights as far as those businesses? Because that's the big problem with Ballpark Village in St. Louis, Todd. If it's not a baseball night, you're not exactly getting a ton of traffic in
and
there.
That is in a relatively good-sized, I don't want to call St. Louis a major American city, but it's a good-sized
mid-major.
A mid-major city. And if you're not doing a brisk business in a city of that size with that population in the summer when the students are not there,
right,
and when a lot of the faculty is on vacation, can you make this sustainable? So that, I guess, is where the feasibility of this will come into play. And maybe a lot of times what you see is a scaled back version of, okay, this is the most grandiose thing that we can come up with here. And then we fall $100 million short and you decide, okay, we're going to cut out the public art piece of the cyclone that shoots the red beam of light into the sky, which
looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty cool. And I think, now don't quote me on this, but I think there is some sort of statute that says that for these public projects, so much of the budget has to go to art. And the reason that I say this is because when they redesigned Carver Hawkeye Arena and they built the club room underneath where people with money can go drink beer and eat snacks and everything at halftime without having to walk up to the top of the arena, there's these light fixtures in there that are, they look like teardrops or icicles, sort of. And they change colors, yeah. I think, from green to blue. And I said, the first time I ever saw it, I said, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in a sports arena. It looks like something that you would see in a Metropolitan Art Museum. And somebody that worked at Iowa said, so much of the budget has to go to quote-unquote art.
What is the word that you call someone who's unappreciative of the arts? I've been called it many times, and I always forget it.
Well, I don't know if there's a particular term, but I'm just ignorant to the art scene. I'm not expecting them to take the Jackson Pollock mural. They still do own that, right? It hasn't been signed over to Modern Piping or anything. I'm not thinking that they're going to put the Jackson Pollock mural inside Carver Hawkeye Arena or anything, but the light fixtures, really? Well, it wasn't our choice. We have to do it as part of basically being a public university and public buildings. And again, I'm not completely up to the code on it, yet that has never stopped me from talking about anything in my life. 319-366-1600. Yes, leading off a Tuesday edition of the program with a hypothetical multi-use shopping plaza slash bar and restaurant. It's the Ped Mall, and you plop it into the middle of Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum. And if they can pull this off, it's going to completely give Iowa State's athletic facilities a facelift. And also, they're going to make a ton of money off this.
Is there enough traffic as far as students are concerned on just normal nights? Is there enough development over there for there to be business in off times?
Well, it is conveniently located off Highway 30.
Right.
There's the University Avenue exit, which it doesn't take more than a mile and a half to get to the stadium. It seems like 7 miles on game day because traffic isn't moving. But if you're heading east or west on Highway 30 and you're looking for a place to eat, grab a drink, you can hop off the exit there and you'll have seemingly multiple opportunities. It's good employment opportunities for the students on campus. And again, it's something that's going to be able to be used year-round. You talk about a feasibility study. I think Iowa is doing one or has done one for expanding the wrestling facilities at Carver Hawkeye Arena. They've been talking about that for a couple of years now. So feasibility study doesn't mean that this weekend against Louisiana Monroe, there's going to be a Buffalo Wild Wings in the parking lot there. This is going to be years down the road. Now, Iowa and Iowa State will still be playing football. That series is not going away anytime soon, so we will see this if they can come up with the money and pull this off. But it really is, again, a sign of how far the Iowa State athletic department has come. This is a team that used to play a game in a stadium where the end zones were not enclosed, where it looked like you tried to recruit kids out of the state of Texas, and they would come and they would look at Jack Trice Stadium, and it was on par, if not a little worse, than some of the high school football stadiums they played at in Texas. Now, you walk up to Jack Trice Stadium, you go, this is a Power 5 football stadium, and they're trying to add to that, which I think Jamie Pollard deserves a ton of credit for. And if you still view Jamie Pollard through the lens of a clown who puts up billboards to troll the Iowa fan base, he did what he needed to do when he first took over the job to establish his credibility with the Iowa State fan base. And they fell in love with him, which was easy to do because Bruce Vandervelde, the guy that he replaced, was a stooge. And so Pollard, he was brash. He did some things at the onset of his tenure that rubbed a lot of non-Iowa State fans the wrong way. But Iowa State fans, for the most part, embraced this guy. They believed in him. They opened up their wallets to him. And as such, he was able to do a lot of the things that he's been able to pull off there. This will be the ultimate pulling the rabbit out of the hat, though. And if anybody's going to be able to do it, my money is on Jamie Pollard.
By the way, it's Philistine, the insult that I'm calling.
I've seen Luddite as well. When the last time I heard that term, Brian Ferentz was using it to describe his father a couple years ago. There you go. I was just going to say ignorant, but...
Ignorant, uncultured, but Philistine is like the one that people throw at me, the real artsy people.
Sam Kinsley, one of our former producers here who's gone on to bigger and better things in California, says a rube or a plebe as well. I guess what we're getting to are there are a lot of ways to describe someone who does not appreciate the fine art scene, like the beautiful chandeliers inside Carver Hawkeye. They're not really chandeliers, but they're very fancy light fixtures. Jane Meyer picked them out herself, so I'm told. Let's bring Kyle into the studio. We've got Matt Verderam of FanSided set to join us. Daniel Jones taking over as the starting quarterback for Eli Manning. Quarterback news galore. Ben Roethlisberger out for the year. Drew Brees sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. Cam Newton is now dinged up. And on top of that, we've got other NFL topics to discuss. We'll get his thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky and more. Again, Matt Verderam of FanSided set to join us in just a few minutes. Three times a day on the program, our producer, Kyle Mann, gets you up to speed on big sports stories in and around the corridor and across the state of Iowa. We like to call these big board updates, and they are brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out at their new location on 420th Street in Iowa City, not too far away from the Sinclair gas station. There's also the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street, also in Iowa City. Here's Kyle.
As Todd and Alex have discussed already, there was some exciting news out of Ames this morning as Iowa State formally announced its intent to explore a complete reimagining of the Iowa State Center and the land between Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trice Stadium as a whole, ultimately seeking to create what Jamie Pollard has referred to as the Power and Light District of Ames. All in the plans are a slight increase in paved parking, a pedestrian bridge from that parking to Jack Trice, as well as practice facilities for the wrestling and volleyball teams, and a hope to attract businesses and hotels. In regards to a statement released yesterday by Iowa's Gary Barta alleging that the Iowa Band had been subjected to inappropriate behavior while in Ames over the weekend, Pollard says four police officers accompanied the Iowa Band and none of them reported anything. And furthermore, as of this morning, he said nobody from Iowa had provided him details as to when, where, or what happened. Matt Campbell spoke with the media over in Ames, and if there's any silver lining to last weekend's loss, it's that his team came out without any new health concerns and, in fact, feels good about the depth it found in the loss. Center Colin Newell is still questionable this week, but Campbell spoke very highly of Trevor Downing's performance in his place and says the line actually took a step forward. He said for the first time in his time at Iowa State, his offensive line was able to go into the Iowa game and compete. The Twins have a five-game lead in the AL Central with only 12 games remaining in the regular season, so as they creep closer to their magic number, we'll continue to bring you their games on 107.5 FM the North Gym, tonight hosting the White Sox. We'll also have the Cardinals and Nationals jostling for playoff positioning on the South and Main Gyms.
Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller starting for the Pirates tonight at home against the Mariners, a $1.30 favorite on the money line, according to our friends at the Elite Sportsbook inside Riverside Casino and Golf Resort in Riverside. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the Jets could not pull off a Monday night victory against the Browns. They lost their backup quarterback for the season. They're now down to their third string quarterback. The Steelers and Saints have quarterback issues. Do the Bears have a quarterback issue? We'll ask Matt Verderam of FanSided after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Go Gold and Golf, September 27th. And enjoy a day on the green supporting Children's Cancer Connection. This four-person scramble will be held at the beautiful Amana Colonies Golf Club. Have fun while raising funds for deserving Iowa families facing childhood cancer.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day, explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released. And so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome. But Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option. Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Get ready, Clear Creek Amana. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour is coming Friday to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, Cardinals and Nationals coming up for you tonight. A little pennant race baseball added to the schedule, but baseball's secondary, let's admit it. We are in the middle of football season, both college and the NFL underway. Not exactly a thrilling Monday night game last night, but Matt Verderam joining us on the program now, the national NFL reporter for FanSided. You can also check out the Stacking the Box podcast. And Matt, I don't know where to start. There's not really a whole lot going on in the NFL these days, right?
Yeah, it's been really quiet the last couple of days.
Like, it's
incredible. The trade rumors, the injuries. It's been a ridiculous couple of weeks.
Let's start with the news today that I think everybody knew was inevitable, but Eli Manning officially on the bench in New York, Daniel Jones taking over. Are you surprised at how quickly New York has made the move here?
Maybe a touch, but I thought it was coming along. I thought at the latest, like they play week 6 in Foxborough, and then they played the Cardinals afterwards. I thought that might be the moment they made the switch, but the Giants have been so inept. I think at some point they just recognized, look, we need to make the youth movement a thing right now and not wait another month or 2 months or whatever the case may have been. So I think for Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman, they realize we can't have another 4-12 season, at least not with Eli Manning. If they have it with Daniel Jones, but Jones looks good, then there's reason for them to stick around to kind of see this process through. But if you're the Giants, you're looking at it and going, we're on to. The team's not very good. The defense is terrible. We are getting Golden Tate back here in a few weeks. Sterling Shepard hopefully come back sooner rather than later from his concussion. And so Daniel Jones, he might give that offense a chance to be more dynamic and explosive. They love what they saw out of him out of OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason. They're hoping they'll see the same thing now in the regular season.
I'll ask you the question that is circulating around Twitter throughout the day. Does Eli Manning deserve to be a Hall of Famer?
Deserve to be a Hall of Famer? Probably not. I think he's going to be one, though. And I think for a few reasons. One, I do think he's a borderline candidate. But I think you look at his body work, a 500 quarterback in regular season if he never plays another game. He won 2 Super Bowls. He beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in both of them, both iconic games and iconic throws. In both, you have the David Tyree one in 42, and then 4 years later, Mario Manningham down the left sideline. So I think those things resonate, and he won those Super Bowls in New York. He played his best on the biggest stage. Well, 10 years from now, nobody's going to remember week 10, 2015. they're going to remember those throws. They're going to remember him beating Brett Favre in his final game as a Packer and freezing Lambeau Field. I think that's what people will hold on to. And I think eventually, it'll take a while, but I think he'll get it.
Matt Verderam joining us from FanSided. There are a lot of teams out there that could use a quarterback right now. Could you see the Giants exploring a trade or Eli asking for a trade?
You know, you never want to say never in the NFL, but I think that's probably a long shot. You look at the teams that you say, well, they could use them. Well, Pittsburgh just traded away draft compensation. I wouldn't have to trade a first-round pick anyway to get Eli Manning, but if memory serves, not a second-round pick either after trading up with the Broncos for Devin Bush. You look at Jacksonville. Nick Foles is out, but they're paying him $22 million against the cap, and Jacksonville is capped out. So I think that would be a very hard pill for them to swallow and even to find a way to maneuver that deal into their cap. So I think he probably stays in New York. He holds a clipboard. He does for Daniel Jones what Kurt Warner did for him, which is be the good soldier, help a young guy out, help him learn the ropes in the NFL. And then after this season, I think you're probably looking at retirement. I don't think there's a lot of reason for Eli Manning to hold on. His days as a starter are over and frankly should be over.
Let's talk about the aforementioned Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, their aging quarterback, who they just gave a contract extension to, out for the season. They're 0-2. Mason Rudolph's their quarterback. They just made a trade for Minka Fitzpatrick, gave up a first-round pick. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in his time in Pittsburgh, so it's weird to even think about it that way. But what is the outlook for this team in 2019?
I think it's bleak. The Steelers have a lot of good players. Unfortunately for them, without Ben Roethlisberger, they don't have their guy. They don't have the player who can bail them out of a bad situation. Look, maybe Mason Rudolph turns out to be a good quarterback. Maybe he's better than a lot of... They're in a pretty good division. Baltimore is no walkover. Cleveland's a talented team. And Cincinnati keeps showing a little bit of fight. I think this is going to be Tomlin's first losing season. Look, they play the NFC West, they already lost to Seattle. Now they go on the road to San Francisco. They play the Rams later in the year. I think this is going to be tough sledding. I like the player in Minka Fitzpatrick that they got. Like, he's under control for 3 years. He's cheap. He's a really good young player who can also play safety, which apparently is where he'll line up week three. First round pick. I think Fitzpatrick is really good. The Steelers, you could argue, might have a top 10 pick. And if they do, they probably...
Well, let's talk about the other quarterback that everybody is discussing after week two. Can the New Orleans Saints survive without Drew Brees for the next 6 to 8 weeks?
I don't think so. Teddy Bridgewater is a good backup quarterback, but in terms of being a starting quarterback, he's certainly in the bottom third of guys around the league. Their schedule is tough. They go to Seattle. Then they come home. They play Dallas on Sunday Night Football at the Superdome. They're going to need to pull some upsets to stay alive. Now, the good news is for them, that division is not very difficult. Tampa Bay is better, but how much better, that remains to be seen. The Panthers might be without Cam Newton now indefinitely. Not sure exactly what's going on with that foot that he re-aggravated on Thursday night. So you look at that division and say, well, could 10 wins get them there? Atlanta might have something to say about that, although they haven't been overly impressive here first couple of weeks. But I think the Saints are going to be about a 500 team. I think they'll come on strong once Brees comes back, provided that they're not totally tanked at that point. But it's hard in the NFL to survive that long. Couple of weeks, maybe even a month, you could sell. But if this thing goes 6 to 8 weeks as they expect it to, and you mentioned, I think that's probably a bit too much to bear.
We've been hearing for a couple of years how excited the coaching staff in New Orleans is about Taysom Hill. Are you surprised there's not more discussion about him stepping in for Drew Brees and being that quarterback?
You know, look, Taysom Hill's a really interesting player. Obviously, he's very unique. He plays special teams. He plays all over the offense and was a quarterback in college at BYU. The question, though, with him is, can you play him conventionally under center for 30 to 40 snaps a game? You know, he's going to drop back and throw the football. I don't know that you can do that. And I think if they thought he could do that, Teddy Bridgewater wouldn't be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. So I think ultimately you might see an expanded package for Hill. You might see, instead of maybe 10 snaps a game, maybe he's 20. But I'm not surprised when they signed Bridgewater. I think that told you what they thought about Taysom Hill as being an actual legitimate quarterback in the NFL and not just kind of, you know, Cordell Stewart / 1995 type of quarterback. I don't think they believe they can win games if Taysom Hill is dropping back and throwing 40 times a game.
Matt Verderam with us, the national NFL reporter for FanSided. Again, you can check out his podcast, Stacking the Box. Let's talk about a team that thought they had their quarterback coming into the season. He's healthy right now, but what are your initial reactions to the first 2 weeks of Mitch Trubisky in Chicago?
I actually wrote about this extensively over at FanSided.com, my Stacking the Box column, Monday. And when you watch the Bears, it is that the coaching staff does not trust Mitchell Trubisky. They call design plays that are one read and out, get rid of the ball quickly, let a guy make a play after the catch. It is so structured, and he is so sheltered, that they have really shackled him in a lot of ways. And look, if the Bears are going to win anything this year of note, they are going to have to unshackle Trubisky and say, look, we trust you. We're going to be a run first team and play defense, but we trust you, and we're going to call some shot plays, and we're going to give you a chance, you know, to throw the ball, not high risk, but maybe, you know, with some risk involved, instead of just these designed quick outs, get rid of the ball, you know, in under 2 seconds. And I think, look, everybody on the team sees the play call, and they all, these guys are smart. They understand, hey, our coaching staff doesn't believe in our quarterback. And believe me, Mitchell Trubisky's getting that play call in his ear, and enough times he's getting it, he's saying they don't believe in me. So I understand why they don't believe in him. He's been, frankly, terrible the first 2 weeks of the year. But at some point, you drafted him second overall. You've got to just say, look, we're going to throw the ball some. It's 2019. We can't rely on having to win on a 53-yard field goal or a defense having to give up single-digit points. You're not going to do that enough. And so if Trubisky's not better, they're not winning that division because the Packers are improved, the Vikings are a solid team, and even the Lions at least look comparable to a team that could win, you know, 8 games or so.
In that same division, how concerned do you think the Minnesota Vikings are with what they've seen from Kirk Cousins the first 2 weeks?
Very. You know, I talked to Rick Spielman a few weeks before the season, and Rick said, look, you know, we felt last year we asked Kirk to throw the ball way too much. There was one game against Buffalo in week 3, actually, where he threw the ball 44 times in a row. They know they can't win like that. So, you know, they went out and they hired Rick Dennison and Gary Kubiak as two offensive assistants, and those guys have the sole responsibility of basically scheming up the run game and being able to put in some pass protections that are going to keep Cousins upright and as that line tries to come together. The line has been mediocre, which is to be expected. What hasn't been expected and has come to fruition is Cousins has just not been accurate. He's always been a guy who's been able to work within structure and has been accurate, even if he hasn't always been an over-the-top, downfield passer. Well, against Green Bay, I believe he's 9 of 21. You're not winning anything going 9 of 21. They have Dalvin Cook playing really well. Kubiak and Dennison have done a great job of drawing up the run game. The defense looks the way it's supposed to. The problem has been the Cousins has played poorly. You have $84 million guaranteed invested in the man. You need a better performance. He needs to be able to drive the Vikings down the field a couple times a game with some authority. He has not done that so far. So I think the Vikings are pretty concerned about what they've seen.
On the subject of the Packers, are you surprised by their 2-0 start?
A little bit. You know, look, I didn't know what to expect out of Matt LaFleur's offense early. I'm familiar with the scheme of it, but anytime you have a new coach come in on either side of the ball, there's always going to be a learning curve. And I think we've seen that, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers is not known for a ton of yards. He's basically averaging 200 a game. The Packers have not scored a ton of points. They've put 31 points through 2 games. But it's been their defense that has played really, really well. Now, you know, some of that comes with a grain of salt in the Thursday night game against Trubisky where he's just flat out abysmal. But I really like the way the Packers have built that defense. A lot of it coming, you know, with younger players in free agency and in the draft. They've been, you know, you look at Darnell Savage and Rashawn Gary, both first-round picks this year. Then you look at the offseason moves of Brian Gutekunst, where they bring in Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. This is a team that got younger. They let Clay Matthews go. They got faster. Jaire Alexander is a terrific young corner. So I think much like the Pats have kind of transitioned to a more defensive run-the-ball team, now with Antonio Brown changing that up a little bit, But Brady is not the central focus of that team anymore. I don't think that's quite the case in Green Bay. I still think Rodgers is the man, so to speak. But defensively, they're better than they've been in a long time, and so it's taking a lot of pressure off of Rodgers.
You mentioned Antonio Brown there, and I asked you the last time we had you on the air, what do you how do you think the NFL feels about the whole Antonio Brown saga as far as a guy sort of misbehaving and forcing a couple of trades and forcing his way out of a situation that he was in? And now all of a sudden, we're seeing more players doing it. We're seeing Jalen Ramsey requesting a trade, Jamal Adams requesting a trade. How uneasy do you think the NFL is about all this turn of events?
I think the NFL is pretty shaken about it, especially ownership, because look, they don't want to do the NBA. And that's not a knock on the NBA. It's just the NBA is a different model, a player model. And so, you know, the NBA is run by the star system. And I think a lot of people within the NFL always thought that'll never happen here because this is a 53-man roster. We have a lot more control. You know, guys aren't as big as stars in the NFL as they are in the NBA because, hey, you know, guys have helmets on. They're not as visible. You know, you're much more inclined in the NFL to root for a team than you are for a specific player where, you know, you can talk to an NBA fan. A lot of people are, I'm a LeBron James fan. I'm a Russell Westbrook fan, so on and so forth. So I do think there are people in high places in the NFL saying, hey, what's going on? You know, why are we acquiescing to these things? Why is this happening? I will say I do think eventually you're going to see some owners stick their foot in the ground and say, look, you're under contract for 3 years. I'm not trading you. I don't care. You know, we haven't gotten to that point yet. I think part of it is because of the guys who have asked to be dealt or moved. You know, these teams, look, Antonio Brown was a case unto himself. But with Jalen Ramsey, you know, Jacksonville and his agent have had a very hard time finding common ground. If Jamal Adams were to get moved, that would be a big one. The Dolphins are just in complete tank mode. So I think if it's fast, it's almost a different situation. But certainly, it looks like the dawn of a new day in the NFL.
Where's Jalen Ramsey wind up?
You know, I know everybody thinks it's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. I have a source close to the situation that tells me that is not the case. Unless something changes drastically, the Chiefs are not a player for Jalen Ramsey. I think, though, you watch in that division, the Los Angeles Chargers make a lot of sense. A lot of sense. I keep an eye on them. And then in the NFC, with Howie Roseman and the Eagles, they're always involved. You know, I think they would make a ton of sense as well. You're going to have half the league seriously calling on Jalen Ramsey, but I would keep an eye on Philadelphia. I keep an eye on the Chargers.
With the Miami Dolphins, the combination of a bad roster to start with and the fact that they are trading away all their good assets, have you in your lifetime ever seen a team as bad as this 2019 Miami Dolphins team?
Oh, yeah. I'm old enough to remember the Lions a decade ago. You know, how soon we forget. That team was truly awful. The Browns that went 1-31 over 2 years, including that 0-16 year a couple of years ago, that team was horrific. Look, the Dolphins, if they continue at this pace, then yeah, they're the worst team I've ever seen. I mean, if they continue to lose games like 40 points a game, yeah, throw them right up there. But, you know, I think eventually they're going to win the game. I think look, the Jets are besieged by injury. They're a disaster. You know, you can make a case. Like, I think the Bills are actually a pretty decent team, but you know, it's a divisional game. Maybe the Dolphins sneak one in there. They played a bank late in the year at home. But right now, yeah, through two games, it's the worst two-game start I've ever seen. They look brutal.
This is bad for the NFL, right? We've never seen a team openly tank the way that the Dolphins are. Is Roger Goodell going to have to come up with some sort of plan moving forward to keep this from becoming the norm?
I don't think so yet. You know, sometimes we overreact to one-off things. And I will say, too, you know, we forget Sashi Brown when he was in Cleveland. They were trading everybody. I mean, they were stockpiling draft picks for years on end, a la what the 76ers did in the NBA. But, yeah, look, the Dolphins can do whatever they want. They're clearly tanking. I think it's a – frankly, it's a strategy where everybody always likes to say, well, they have three or four first-round picks this year. That's fine. You better nail them. Because if you don't nail them, you're going to be unintentionally tanking for the next 5 years. You know, there seems to be this thought that if you get all these first-round picks, they automatically turn to all pros. If you're the Dolphins, you're hoping that one of those first-round picks turns into a player like Laremy Tunsil or turns into a player like Minka Fitzpatrick. So you know, it's a big gamble, quite honestly. I get the Tunsil thing for the Dolphins. Look, they got such a haul for him. I think you have to do that. Fitzpatrick, okay. I mean, you may turn into a top 12 pick, but you're probably hoping to get a really good corner, right? So I don't think Goodell has to worry yet about a tanking epidemic. But, yeah, it's something to monitor. You don't want half the teams. I mean, look, baseball right now is going through over half the American League. It's just completely in the tank, and it's a joke.
Matt, I know it's kind of a subplot with all that's going on in the NFL, but what is going on with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers offense?
Well, listen, he's re-aggravated his foot injury. There's no timetable on his return, and they're not ruling him out for Sunday's game against the Cardinals. At the same point, they're not saying he's going to play either. So that's something to monitor. He looked awful on Thursday night against Tampa. He's clearly not right. Had all-season shoulder surgery, injured the foot in preseason up in New England. At some point, you have to say to yourself, how much more does Cam have to get? He's a physical specimen, but he has taken a pounding over the years. What is left for him physically to give? And if you're the Panthers, you also have to start thinking about, okay, look, we're 0-2. If he doesn't play this game, we lose to Arizona. We're 0-3. It's tough to mail in a season in September. It's easy for fans and analysts to say, but it's really hard for a team itself. But do you start saying, hey, look, you know what? Let's sit him down. Let's give him some time to rest. I'm not talking about benching him, but I mean, put him on IR. Let him get right. Give his body some time to recover. Let's see what Will Greer's got. I think for the Panthers, look, they're not going to Super Bowl anyway this year. They're not. You know, maybe if everything broke right, they could compete for a wild card spot, but they're not a great team. So it's certainly frustrating if you're the Panthers. And I think for Cam Newton, he just needs time for his body to recover from all that it's gone on and gone through the last 2-3 years.
Matt, as we said, not a whole lot to talk about tonight, but we do appreciate you taking the time and going through the motions with us anyway. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Matt Verderam, the national NFL reporter for FanSided. And again, you can also check out the Stacking the Box podcast. Teams looking left and right for quarterbacks at this point. The Jets announcing after last night's game that Trevor Siemian is now out for the year. Sam Darnold is still out indefinitely recovering from mononucleosis.
This is absolutely the worst case scenario for the NFL, who has put in rules to protect the quarterbacks that has made one side of the spectrum very angry, and then the quarterbacks are still getting injured. So you're having these terrible penalty calls. We didn't even get to the officiating, which has completely taken away from the first couple weeks of the NFL. So you have those terrible calls and still quarterbacks getting hurt. What do you do?
The depth chart for the Jets at quarterback now has Luke Falk as the starting quarterback.
Mike Leach's prodigy.
I'm glad you brought up Mike Leach. We may get to his most recent off-the-wall comments on the coming up on the program later today. He was asked which one of the Pac-12 mascots would win in a fight. And his answer is, as you can imagine, quintessential Mike Leach. 319-366-1600. We do not hear from Kirk Ferentz today in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes on a bye week. Tomorrow, we will hear from the coordinators, all three coordinators, Brian Ferentz, Phil Parker, and LeVar Woods. We'll bring you what they have to say coming up on Wednesday's edition of the program. Make sure you join us this Thursday. We're going to be at Mulligan's on Old Marion Road. Great place to stop in for a drink, especially during happy hour. It runs from 3 until 6. And then on Thursday, half price wings from 6 until close. Buddy Lee is going to be on hand getting people signed up for tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. Just a couple more weeks, and the Rough Riders are going to be having some preseason games at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Hockey season is almost here. 319-366-1600. Make sure you join us, though, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. The 4 o'clock hour will continue when we return on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
I'm a lawn guy and proud of it. Pro tip, watch the fall leaves. When that first bad boy drops, boom, get feeding and seeding with Scotts. Lay down Scotts Turf Builder today, and come spring, your lawn will be so thick, green, and strong, neighbors like Steve over there will be mad green with envy.
Hey, sweet lawn, Stevie.
Steve.
Don't be a Steve. Be a lawn guy. Pick up a bag of Scotts Turf Builder today. This is a Scotts yard.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If you hear squealing and grinding noises from your vehicle, it's time for new brakes. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and any two Brake Best rotors, you'll save 10% on your total purchase. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sport Clips Haircuts and NASCAR's number 20 driver, Eric Jones. Want to see you at the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race in Texas, Sunday, November 3rd. Enter now for your chance to win the ultimate NASCAR race fan experience at sportclips.com/Texas. Meet Eric Jones and win pit passes, hospitality tickets, and more. For the best NASCAR has to offer, enter now at sportclips.com/Texas. No purchase necessary. U.S. only. Age 18 or older. Ends October 4th, 2019. Void where prohibited.
Welcome back in 4:58, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, and online at KGYMradio.com. Tommy Burch at the Des Moines Register set to join us in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. When we return, we'll take a look at the goings-on on the college football scene. The college football world is much larger than just Iowa and Iowa State. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, who was in Ames on Saturday for the Cy-Hawk battle. We can certainly chat with him about that. We'll get his opinion on how the Big Ten and Big 12 look, and the rest of the college football landscape as well. No Iowa game to look forward to this week, so no edition of Before the Boom to tell you about coming up on Saturday. Iowa State's got Louisiana Monroe. We'll have that presentation for you on 1600 AM. Adam, set to join us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The Eli Manning era is over in New York. The Giants sending him to the bench and starting rookie Daniel Jones at quarterback Sunday against the Buccaneers. Jones had a strong spring and summer, but he'll be a work in progress for rebuilding New York, reminds ESPN's Mike Tannenbaum.
He has ability, he flashed it, but he has not gone against defenses that are going to game plan from him and face a lot of pressure. And to develop a quarterback in New York City is difficult to do. There will be growing pains, and the New York Giants have to be patient with him and know that it's not going to happen overnight.
Saints quarterback Drew Brees told ESPN's Ed Werder he'll have surgery on his injured hand tomorrow. With Trevor Siemian out the rest of the season with an ankle injury, Luke Falk becomes the Jets' starting QB until Sam Darnold returns from mono. Darnold told the Michael Kay Show on ESPN New York 98.7 FM the goal for his return is October 1st against the Eagles. Pirates all-star closer Felipe Vasquez arraigned today on felony charges, including statutory sexual assault related to an alleged relationship with a teenage girl in Florida. Vasquez denied bail. He was placed on administrative leave by MLB.
Coming up Wednesday, I'll rank my top three teams in the NFL. Will Eddie Pinero's 53-yard game-winning field goal be the opening scene of the Bears' Super Bowl DVD? They make those? And another chance for you to tailgate with the Golics at Notre Dame. Golic and Wingo Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Will Kane here. If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income, then you need to protect the ones you love with life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. A cup of coffee a day costs more than that. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-417-5440. That's 1-800-417-5440. Or go to selectquote.com/will. That's selectquote.com/WILL. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Welcome back in. 5:03, the second of 3 hours of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you. Underway on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, KGYM. Also heard on 107.5 and 106.3 FM and online at kgymradio.com. You can also listen to KGYM using our free app. Just look for it in the Google Play or iTunes store. You can also listen on Alexa. Got details on how to utilize those skills on our website, kgymradio.com. Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register are going to be with us coming up in about 60 minutes. We'll discuss the developments in Ames today, literally and figuratively. Iowa State doing a feasibility study on a pretty major facelift in and around Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum. Right now, though, somebody who was with us in Ames on Saturday, I saw him milling around the press box during those two lightning delays, didn't get a chance to say hi. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com with us. And Adam, have you recovered from the fun and excitement that was a six-hour Cy-Hawk game on Saturday?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. I have, and I don't think I'd be too upset if I didn't go back to Jack Trice for a little while, though it's a great venue to see college football. I arrived a little bit before the end of college game day, and I think left the stadium around midnight. So it's a long day at the stadium, but actually saw a fun game and a competitive game. But yeah, let's hopefully have no lightning delays. I'm going to USC this week, where the weather is pretty consistently good. So I don't think we're going to have any of those on Friday night.
Did the game itself change your opinion on the rest of the season for either team?
You know, not really. I thought these are two, you know, really solid teams coming into the game, and you always have to watch those games with a little bit of a qualifier, and that it's a rivalry game, and you know, weird things are going to happen, and you don't want to extrapolate too much from the performance of either team. But you know, Iowa State, you saw what they can do defensively and how difficult their scheme is. You know, they weren't able to get off the field, but they limited Iowa to, you know, Iowa's big playability. Made it hard for the Hawkeyes to get into the end zone all game. And so, you know, we knew that. I knew that from talking to coaches in the Big 12. I think both quarterbacks played at a high level, and that's encouraging for both teams going forward. You know, Iowa just made a fewer mistakes, and that's been kind of the pattern here in the series. And if they can do that in some of their Big 10 road games, they're going to be in really good shape to win the West Division. You know, they were my pick before the season. And I think that's not really changed after watching them play. They're not a dominant team, but they're a team that is really good at the line of scrimmage. They have a solid, very solid senior quarterback. And when they don't hurt themselves in terms of turnovers and penalties and things like that, they can be a very successful team.
I think Iowa and Wisconsin have looked pretty good in the Big Ten West so far. We'll certainly learn more about the Badgers this week as they've got Michigan. How big of a game is this for Jim Harbaugh?
It's huge. You know, obviously Ohio State's the biggest game on the schedule, but, you know, if they don't play better sooner than that, that game may not matter as far as the East Division race and getting to the Big Ten championship game. And so this is critical for a number of reasons. Michigan hasn't looked particularly good or early, especially on offense. And, you know, they were very fortunate to beat Army a couple of weeks ago at home. And, you know, they, you know, made some big changes on offense under Josh Gattis, their new coordinator. I think a lot of people are still waiting for that scheme to break out and show, you know, some of the things they were trying to do and emphasize more in bringing Josh to Ann Arbor. And then the other thing, this has been a long-term pattern with Harbaugh, is his teams don't play well away from Michigan Stadium, whether it's road games or in bowl games. And this is a big road game. They lost at Camp Randall a couple of years ago. Wisconsin, as you guys know, always one of the toughest teams in the country on its home field. And so this is a big opportunity for Michigan to show that, hey, this is going to be different. Our offense still is going to be better and different. And if it's not, I think that the narrative of, oh, well, here's Michigan again. They fooled us again. They're not going to do anything this season. That's going to be even louder coming out of a loss.
Yeah, you kind of lead me right to my next question. Offensively, there have been rumblings, and people have said that Jim Harbaugh has handed the offense completely over to Josh Gattis, who was a Joe Moorhead disciple, and they've kind of changed the identity of that offense. How much concern is there right now just with this offense and their inability really to convert in short yardage situations, which has been a staple of Jim Harbaugh's offenses?
Right. Well, that was a concern against Army. They had several of those and weren't able to get it done. I think the bigger concern I have in watching them is, and this is why I think it's too soon to judge Josh Gattis, is it's hard for any coordinator to have success when you're fumbling the ball, especially early in the game, and you're hurting yourself with pre-snap penalties. And Michigan had 5 lost fumbles in the first 2 games, guys. They had 3 all of last season. They had 10 offensive penalties, most of which were pre-snap. So that just hurts you from getting into any sort of rhythm and being able to attack the way that Josh wants to attack. So I know the questions about who's really in control of the offense are there, and they're valid, after the way they look towards the end of the Army game. But I think it's too soon to pass judgment on whether this has been a positive change, because I don't think any coordinator in any system would have success when your quarterback's fumbling the ball like, say, Patterson has, or you're having those penalties. So they have to stop hurting themselves. They're going to have to play a cleaner game for sure if they want to beat Wisconsin.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com, national college football reporter, joining us on KGYM this afternoon. Let's keep the focus here on the Big Ten. What's up with so many Big Ten teams struggling here early on in the season, though? A lot of ugly football played right out of the gate.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily new. I mean, we've seen that before. I think there were some outsized expectations on certain programs that if you really looked at them, you could see that there may be some issues like a Nebraska, like a Purdue. I think that the expectations there were a little bit out of whack. Minnesota's won ugly, and but they're still winning, and that's nothing to sneeze at, because they're a program that is still trying to build under PJ Fleck. I think Penn State's looked pretty good for the most part. Michigan State, that's been the one that, especially their loss this past weekend, and the fact that it looks like offensively they haven't made the type of progress that they wanted to make is discouraging. And I think that's a program people are watching right now to see which direction they're going, because they have this incredible defense once again, and it seems to be going to waste because they can't put up even moderate points totals offensively. So they have a game with Northwestern this week on the road. Northwestern's beaten them 3 times in a row. Both teams are very good defensively. Neither team is very good offensively. So I think the total in the game is in the mid-30s for the betting folks out there. And it's a big opportunity for Michigan State to try to get on track offensively, because if not, they're looking at one of those, another mediocre season despite having a terrific defense.
Yeah, how frustrating is this start to the season for Michigan State fans? Defense is outstanding, and still they just can't score points. Against Tulsa, they held Tulsa to under, I think, minus 73 rushing yards, only scored 28 points, and then we saw what they did against Arizona State.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And in the Arizona State game, they were able to move the ball, but they had a lot of penalties, and they just found ways to not score, and that's unsettling. I think when you're an offense that isn't making a ton of big plays, it sometimes needs, 7, 8, 9, 10 plays to get in the end zone. It's just harder, and that's where they're at right now. And, whether it's, Mark D'Antonio's unwillingness to fire assistant coaches and make wholesale changes on that side, or whether it's just the players and the roster makeup, they haven't been very good on the offensive line the last couple of years. It's just not working. And it's a shame, because they really are, as you mentioned, they're outstanding on defense. Several All-America caliber players, from Kenny Willekes to Joe Bocci and some of the other guys. You just don't want to waste that. And that's why they're going to have to get this thing turned around soon, because you've got Northwestern coming up, and then I think they have Ohio State on the road in a couple of weeks, and obviously Penn State, Michigan still left on the schedule. So, it's an important point in the season already for both Michigan schools that go on the road this weekend.
Illinois showed some signs of progress the first couple weeks of the season, but a big loss last weekend to Eastern Michigan. Is Lovie Smith officially on the hot seat watch now?
Yeah, he was coming into the year, and yeah, I mean they won some games against bad teams. I think we got to be a little bit careful about getting too excited, and obviously Eastern Michigan, who's really well coached with Chris Creighton, goes in there and beats Illinois. I think Eastern Michigan has more Big Ten wins or as many Big Ten wins the last 2 years as Illinois and Rutgers. So yeah, I love he's on the hot seat. He's got to show tangible progress. And, you know, they get Nebraska coming in this week. You know, the Huskers look better last week against Northern Illinois at home, but Illinois hosts them, and we'll see if they can perform better. But, it doesn't look good right now for Lovie Smith. There hasn't been really any significant progress made under his tenure. They trying to go the transfer route as their latest attempt to try to win some games with Brandon Peters and others from the graduate transfer group, and at least last week it didn't work. So again, important point in the season for them to get started.
Are we ready to put Ohio State right there as the team to beat in the Big Ten with the way that Justin Fields has looked through 3 weeks?
Absolutely, and I think this year is an important lesson that even though people were talking up Michigan, it's always about Ohio State in this conference year in and year out. They have the best talent. All you have to do is talk to any coach in the Big Ten who will be honest with you, and they'll say their talent is better than everybody's every single year. So even though they had a first-time head coach in Ryan Day, a new quarterback in Justin Fields, no one should be surprised that Ohio State is right now the team to beat, because they always are in this conference until somebody unseats them, like a Michigan State did in 2015 or Penn State did in 2016. I think the most encouraging sign, honestly, has been their defense. I mean, you guys saw how bad they were last year, all the breakdowns and so forth. And obviously they've been able to remedy those. They're starting to play closer to their talent level, and that's a very encouraging sign.
We talked quite a bit about Nebraska when we sat down in Chicago at Big Ten Football Media Day. What are your thoughts on Scott Frost and the Huskers through 3 weeks?
It's another team that I think people got carried away with a little bit the way they ended last season. Understandably so, because of Scott and obviously the success he had in year two at UCF and quarterback Adrian Martinez, who's one of the more dynamic players in the conference. But in talking to coaches, like I always do, and looking at the roster, I still had concerns about Nebraska, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And you saw that a little bit in the opener. You certainly saw that in the second half of the loss to Colorado. Now, last week was encouraging. They were much more dominant and cleaner against Northern Illinois. But I want to see how they perform now going forward, especially if they can continue to make strides defensively. The other thing that coaches have told me, which is a little surprising, is they've said that Scott has been a little bit conservative from a play calling standpoint. He even referred to it in a recent press conference that he's got to cut it loose a little bit more and trust that he's got the guys to make the big plays on both sides of the ball. So that'll be an interesting development here. They should beat Illinois, and then obviously they return home for a huge showdown, a national showcase game against Ohio State.
Adam, let's move to the Big 12. Does Lincoln Riley have another Heisman candidate at quarterback?
He does. In talking to someone on the Oklahoma staff today, I think what Jalen Hurts has done is added a true quarterback run element to that offense, which is already, the nation's most productive offense on a consistent basis. With Kyler Murray was a great athlete, as you guys know, but Jalen Hurts is, even better as far as what he can do from design quarterback runs. So, it's certainly another Heisman candidate. He's not the only candidate, but he's in that mix.
What do you see so far out of the Texas Longhorns and their performance so far this season? There was another team that was a lot of hype around Texas coming into the year.
Well, I think this is a really good team. We saw that in the LSU game, and they got a great quarterback. He's a Heisman candidate as well, and Sam Ehlinger, able to put up a lot of points, especially through their passing game and their quarterback run game. LSU, which is one of the more talented defenses, one of the best coordinators in the country, and Dave Aranda, had a very hard time containing that Texas offense in that ball game. Now, defensively, that's where they still have to grow. They lost almost their entire front seven from last year. They had some injuries in the secondary that are holding them back a little bit. So that's what I'm watching for. Can they improve defensively? Because if not, Oklahoma is going to put up a huge total against them. That'll be a high-scoring game no matter what. But Oklahoma is even better offensively than LSU. And so that's the unit to watch for Texas going forward.
Speaking of LSU, I think coming into the year, I've mentioned this before, we thought a lot of people were saying Alabama and Clemson 1 and 2, huge gulf between 2 and 3. But I look at the SEC right now, and is it fair to say that Alabama has two teams in that conference, not just Georgia, but also LSU with that new offense, that are right on par there with the Tide?
Right. I think they absolutely. And we'll see if others can get closer, like an Auburn or a Texas A&M, but I think LSU is certainly taking a step forward. They always have the talent there, but they haven't had enough offensive firepower, especially in the passing game. And that's what Joe Burrow has brought, along with those incredibly talented receivers. They brought in a new assistant coach from the New Orleans Saints, a fairly unknown guy named Joe Brady, as their passing game coordinator. And he's really given that a jolt. I mean, they felt good about Burrow after last year, but in talking to people in the program this summer, they felt even more optimistic about him, and he's validated that optimism. So, again, it's kind of amazing when a team with so much talent finally puts it all together, in a phase where they had been lacking for quite some time, especially towards the end of the Les Miles era, even into the start of the Ed Orgeron era. They just hadn't been, playing to their capability from a passing standpoint offensively, and that's what they're doing right now.
If you're a UCLA fan, are you starting to panic with how the Chip Kelly era is going?
I think so. Just how difficult it's been. Now they're very young, and it's going to take some time. They're building the roster. They're building towards, something that's more sustainable. But they've really struggled. I mean, obviously, offensively, it doesn't resemble the type of explosiveness that we were used to from his Oregon teams. And then defensively, they struggled at times, certainly against Oklahoma last week, although a lot of teams struggle against Oklahoma. And so, there's even some chatter of whether Chip wants to be there long term, but I think he'd at least like to see this through a little bit longer to see if he can get things on track, because it's been a very ugly start and they haven't competed very well. But they did start to play better towards the end of last season. And so, perhaps after, I think this week will be tough going to Washington State. But after that game, I think maybe UCLA can kind of regroup and start to play a little bit better.
Adam, you mentioned you're going to be at USC this weekend. What other games are on your radar for week four?
Yeah, it's a great weekend. I mean, certainly Michigan-Wisconsin's a major game, and then certainly Notre Dame and Georgia towards the end of the day in the nighttime window is going to be a major showcase, because for Georgia, they don't have a whole lot else to impress the selection committee other than this game, at least out of conference. I mean, they obviously have the SEC schedule, and they're the heavy favorite to win the East Division, but losing this game at home could possibly damage their playoff resume, and it would certainly do a lot to enhance Notre Dame's. Notre Dame's seen as a team that probably has to go undefeated, but if they beat Georgia, that might give them a little bit more wiggle room. If they do lose a game later on this year, that they have one of the best wins of the season, they'd be a heavy underdog. They are a heavy underdog, so this would be a significant upset for the Irish. And then also Auburn going to Texas A&M. Middle of the day, I think that's a pretty good gauge of those two teams. Auburn obviously already has a signature win against Oregon. Texas A&M looking for its first signature win.
When you look at the Pac-12 and you see that Washington has lost already, Oregon had that loss to Auburn early in the year. I'm not going to say that they're out of it, but I was watching Mike Leach's team on Friday, Washington State, and that their quarterback that they have, Anthony Gordon, looks like he has slid in and played well right away. Is this a team that can have something to say about that Pac-12 title?
Absolutely. And I put them in my list of teams along with Iowa in my piece Monday, Free Plus, under the radar league title contenders. Anthony Gordon is just showing again that Leach can develop quarterbacks. He's fairly unknown, fifth-year senior, waited his turn. Mike Leach telling me that he's incredibly accurate. He's handled, being the starter, better than anyone could have imagined. And, they really have it rolling right now. So Washington State, which has UCLA this week, and then in a few weeks' time, they go to Utah. We'll learn a little bit more about their legitimacy in the Pac-12 North. But I really like what Mike has done there, and he's getting it done with another quarterback.
Adam, we appreciate the time as always. Safe travels, and I have a feeling it'll be a long time before we see you back for another Cy-Hawk game.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on.
Always love chatting football with Adam. And there were a lot of regional and national writers. There's a reason that College Game Day was in Ames last weekend. The national slate was not exactly full of compelling games. So you saw some people that you don't normally see around a press box for Iowa, Iowa State, Adam being one of them. And everybody was just as miserable as the 61,500 fans who had been dumped on by Mother Nature during 3 hours worth of lightning and rain delays. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We always get so great feedback when Adam joins us. People remember him from his early work at ESPN, where he covered primarily the Big Ten based out of Chicago. Now he is more of a national voice, but as you can clearly hear, still passion and a great deal of knowledge for the Big Ten and, to a lesser extent, the Big 12 Conference. He's a Midwest guy.
Always excited to hear from Adam. I know I brought up Georgia. Georgia-Notre Dame this weekend is going to be an outstanding matchup with all kinds of college football playoff implications.
I heard Paul Feinbaum on the Stephen A. Smith show, and if you want to talk about which layer of hell that is, of Dante's Inferno, I was on my way back from lunch with my wife this afternoon, and she said, "Who is this talking smack right now about Notre Dame?" And it was Paul Feinbaum saying Georgia was going to blow Notre Dame out this weekend. Notre Dame doesn't have a chance. And then I also learned a story from last night that reminds me once again, you know, you never know who's listening when you're doing this program. I got home last night and my son was in a really bad mood. And I wanted to find out why. And this afternoon, my wife informed me that he was listening last night when we were talking with John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, who joins us every Monday at 4:30.
Okay.
Thank you, Craig Adamson.
What did he say?
Well, my son heard me say that John was going to be at the Applebee's in Ames at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And he thought that I was saying he was going to be eating dinner at Applebee's, that I was going to come home and we were going to take him to Applebee's for dinner. And that did not go over well when my wife explained to him, no, that's not what your dad is saying on the radio. He's not talking about you. This has nothing to do with you. My son is 3. He thinks the entire world revolves around him. I'm 39, and sometimes I guess I'm guilty of also feeling the same way. But needless to say, much like Lucy, I had some splaining to do, and will probably do so when I get home tonight, because if he's in the car right now on the way home from daycare, he's probably...
This is the second day in a row we're going to Applebee's, Dad?
The timing. I got to look at the clock. I got to make sure that he's not in the car listening, because much like everybody else, he listens on his commute home in the cozy coupe. Hook the radio up for him. 319-366-1600. We will we'll have some fun here coming up at the bottom of the hour with the reference to what Mike Leach said earlier. I can't remember whether this was yesterday or whether this was today at his weekly news conference. Mike Leach, American folk hero, discussing which one of the Pac-12 mascots would win in a fight. It is quintessential Mike Leach. We'll have that audio for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll also hear from Matt Campbell, had a news conference today as Iowa State gears up for ULM. Hard to find a reference to them as Louisiana Monroe. Phil Steele has them in his yearbook as ULM. The Warhawks of Monroe, Louisiana, set to come to Jack Trice Stadium this weekend. Just the second meeting in program history between the two teams. Iowa State won the last meeting handily. They're about an 18.5-point favorite over ULM this weekend. We'll have that contest for you on 1600 AM. John Walters and Eric Heft on the call. Fingers crossed that Mother Nature cooperates and there are no weather delays. Takes a lot longer to get back to Louisiana than it does to eastern Iowa. 526, we'll take a quick timeout. Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn rolling along. Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register set to join us in about 35 minutes. We will discuss the revelation today that Iowa State is doing a feasibility study on its athletics campus, giving it a much-needed facelift. Kyle's going to fill you in on that and more when he joins us on the other side of this break. We've got a big board update coming, plus an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We'll tell you more about that when we return after this.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I was very comfortable with the straightforward way they presented the numbers.
I'm impressed how long the staff has been there. They truly are my advocates.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
If the Cubs are to hang on to their tenuous grasp of a spot in Major League Baseball's postseason this year, they'll have to do so without first baseman Anthony Rizzo. Rizzo joins shortstop Javier Baez and closer Craig Kimbrell on the shelf at the moment for the Cubs, who still find themselves within striking distance of the Cardinals for first place in the NL Central. An MRI on Rizzo's right ankle, which he injured in Sunday's win over the Pirates, showed a lateral sprain. That means no surgery, but it also means 5 to 7 days in a walking boot and no more regular season games. Rizzo would like to return before the calendar turns to the postseason, but that most likely won't happen. The Cubs will want Rizzo completely healthy and free of possible setbacks when he rejoins the lineup in October. That is, of course, assuming Chicago is in the playoff picture this year. The Cubs enter Tuesday just 2 games behind St. Louis in the Central standings, with a 1-game lead over Milwaukee for second place. That means the Brewers are just a game behind Chicago in the wild card standings. Washington, which leads the Cubs by half a game for home field advantage in the NL wildcard game, is in the midst of a series with the Cardinals. Nationals' losses help the Cubs in the wildcard race, but prevent them from gaining ground in the division race.
Happy Joe's isn't afraid of a tough matchup. They'll put their large pizza up against anybody else in town. Theirs is the biggest. That means they can feed families, fans, or whole teams until they're good and full. Their pizzas are famous, too. They originated the taco pizza, and it's still a fan favorite. Plus, everyone loves Happy Joe's VIP Club. It's easy to sign up, and you'll get exclusive offers and earn points towards a free pizza. Order online today from Happy Joe's 3 Cedar Rapids locations at happyjoescr.com. Delivery or carryout available.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4344 120th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I like their reputation for taking care of customers before and after the sale.
Toyota of Iowa City always gives me a great deal.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
5:31, we welcome you back in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. No Kirk Ferentz audio to bring you today. The head coach does not meet with the media during Iowa's bye week. Tomorrow, we will hear from Phil Parker, Brian Ferentz, and LeVar Woods. They will meet the media in Iowa City, and we will be there for you. We will hear at some point today Iowa State coach Matt Campbell, some of the highlights of what he had to say at his weekly news conference, and Jamie Pollard, with his first public statement with regard to Iowa's news release that came out yesterday afternoon regarding an incident with the Hawkeye Marching Band and Iowa State fans. All that on the way before 7 o'clock tonight. But first, our producer Kyle Mann joins us in the studio once again. Three times a day, he gets you up to speed on the Iowa sports scene throughout the corridor and across the state with a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
There was some exciting news out of Ames this morning as Iowa State formally announced its intent to explore a complete reimagining of the Iowa State Center and the land between Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trice Stadium, ultimately seeking to create what Jamie Pollard referred to as the Power and Light District of Ames. All in the plans are a slight increase in paved parking, a pedestrian bridge from that parking to Jack Trice, as well as practice facilities for wrestling and volleyball, and a hope to attract businesses and hotels. In regards to a statement released yesterday by Iowa's Gary Barda alleging that the Iowa Marching Band had been subjected to inappropriate behavior while in Ames over the weekend, Pollard says four police officers accompanied the Iowa band and none of them reported anything. And furthermore, as of this morning, he said nobody from Iowa had provided him details as to when, where, or what happened. Matt Campbell spoke with the media over in Ames, and if there's any silver lining to last weekend's loss, it's that his team came out without any new health concerns and in fact feels good about the depth it found in the loss. Center Colin Newell is still questionable this week, but Campbell spoke highly of Trevor Downing's performance in his place and says the line actually took a step forward. He said for the first time in his time at Iowa State, his O-line was able to go into the Iowa game and compete. The Twins have a five-game lead in the AL Central with only 12 games remaining in the regular season, so as they creep closer to their magic number, we'll continue to bring you their games on 107.5 FM The North Gym, tonight hosting the White Sox. We'll also have the Cardinals and Nationals jostling for playoff positioning on the South and Main gyms.
Just a reminder that throughout the high school football season on Thursdays and Fridays, Scott Unash and Mark Dukes will be hosting tailgate tour stops across the corridor. You can tune in this Thursday on the gym class. I believe they've got a tailgate stop. It is the Whirlpool Careers High School tailgate tour, and it comes your way this week on the gym class. And I know it's Thursday because we're making selections on Friday for the Pick Six presented by Emil's Hideaway. One of the games we are selecting, Louisiana Monroe, ULM, traveling to Jack Trice Stadium and Iowa State. The Cyclones about a 19-point favorite in that one. More details to come on the Pick Six presented by Emil's Hideaway later on in the program. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here in the KGYM studios. I mentioned this in the 4 o'clock hour, and it came up again. Mike Leach's name did anyway in our interview with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com. Look, Mike Leach holds a special place in my heart. He was one of the first guests that we ever talked to, Brent Balbinot and myself, when we created the initial afternoon, three-hour afternoon program here on KGYM. Balbinot and Brommelkamp, some of you will remember that program. Most of you have forgotten it. I have a giant banner in my garage. No, it's not hung up. I'm not that big of an egomaniac. I didn't even know it existed. It was, we had a logo for that show that we never used, and it never made it to the light of day, and I had no idea that this gigantic banner was made with this logo on it, and they said, it's either going in the dumpster, or you can take it home and have it, and I probably should have said, yeah, just throw it in the dumpster, I don't have any place to display this, but no, it's curled up in the corner of my garage right now. I digress. I like Mike Leach. I think he is an interesting human being. He's a football coach who's not afraid, Alex, to open his mouth and say controversial things. He's not afraid to address subjects beyond football. I think so many coaches just want to stick to foot. They are the stick to sports of the sports realm. College football coaches are Mr. Stick to Sports.
Yeah, and Mike Leach is the Dan Le Batard show.
And Mike Leach has some off script to him here. So
a lot.
This happens four or five times a year where somebody will ask a question at his weekly news conference that is designed to not necessarily create chaos, but to throw him into a diatribe on various things not related to football. Today's question posed to Mike Leach is a hypothetical question. Which Pac-12 mascot would win in, I believe the question was basically a battle royale. So if you had WWE style, all of the mascots, and they were fighting for their collective life, and it was winner take all, which mascot would come out on top? This is, you look, there's no other coach in the country that would give this answer to that question.
Well, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something, I don't know. The duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. You know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? The cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
Clear-minded and crafty. There is so much to unpack there. First, you have, right out of the gate, you have to take into account, does the Sun Devil have mythical powers?
I feel like maybe the Sun Devil does.
That is the first place that he immediately goes. You also have him referencing the Ute, which is an American Indian tribe. And not only that, but he goes the historically accurate route of, are they trading for rifles with the white man? Are they trading for rifles? Does he have a gun or is he going old school with the tomahawk? The Harry Potter activists explaining how to stop the Sun Devil, and then a reference to the Colorado buffalo as the magnificent beast that it is.
And he trolled his cross-state rival. Husky, no chance.
It got me thinking earlier today, which Big Ten mascot would come out on top? And I think the answer is clear. I think it would come down to a Wolverine and a Badger, and there really isn't much choice here unless you give one of the humans, and I guess for this purpose, human mascots are limited to Spartans, Scarlet Knights, Fighting Illini, Boilermakers, Hoosiers, and Huskers. If you give one of them a gun, they would be able to take care of the Badger and the Wolverine.
Why would a Husker need a gun?
Have you ever encountered a Badger? They are nasty, vile animals.
I've never encountered one, but I have seen videos, and I absolutely never want to encounter a Badger. Ever.
Turtle, terrapin, no chance.
I've seen Blue Mountain State. Those badgers are scary.
A Nittany lion, basically all of the animals that are not a wolverine or a badger. Meh. We all know that the gopher is the first to pass away, right? The gopher is like the minority in a horror movie, where the old trope is when you watch a horror movie, you realize, oh, he doesn't stand a chance. That's the gopher.
What about the Hoosier?
The Hoosier is, that's a slang native for somebody from Indiana. I don't think the Hoosier has any, as I'm borrowing from Mike Leach's lexicon here, I don't think a Hoosier has any mythical powers other than maybe a three-point shot and the ability to rebound.
What about the nut? All you need is a hammer to beat a Buckeye.
Well, the Buckeye is a poisonous nut, if I recall correctly. So if ingested by one of the other mascots, it could cause harm. My money is on the Badger. Am I wrong? 319-366-1600. And what other coach in the country would give that question the time of day? And not just answering or acknowledging the question, but treating that question as seriously as if he were asked about his backup quarterback and what he brings to the team.
Maybe more seriously.
Can you talk about your backup quarterback?
Yeah, he's about 6'3", 200 pounds, and he throws with his right hand, and I think he's okay. Like, I feel like that's the length of his answer for real football questions. But when you get into the hard-hitting topics, such as who would win a Royal Rumble of Pac-12 mascots, that's when he really flexes his muscles in this way.
Chris, on the text line, it is not a lion. It is a Nittany lion, which is more of a mountain lion. It doesn't have the power of Mufasa in The Lion King. It's a Nittany lion. It's a much smaller
have you seen that
animal
Spartan?
Of prey.
I think of all the human mascots, okay. The Spartan is the most formidable.
You're talking about the foam muscles of the Sparty, the mascot.
Yeah.
He's sculpted, yes.
He's
but
ripped.
In a cartoonish way. He stands no chance. A human would stand no chance against a badger unless they had a gun. And it would have to be a powerful one, because if you had just a little pop gun, badger's still taking you down. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Phil in Iowa City. Phil, what's on your mind right now, out of curiosity?
Okay. What about Hawkeye from the Marvel Universe? But I realize that...
Yeah, that's not the impetus of the mascot, though, so we can't blur the lines here.
Oh, well, okay.
It's got to be a bird.
It does well. It doesn't even exist. I mean, Hawkeye's not a real thing. You know, like we'd have to use Herky then. So Herky would be the person who would be representing us technically then, right?
I suppose, and Herky stands no chance against.
Yeah,
a badger.
I mean, I'm with you. I was more about what are we talking about as a Hawkeye? Since mystical powers, you know, Hawkeye, we could just create them because we created the Hawkeye. Does that make sense?
You could, and now somebody at Iowa City is probably creating a petition online to change the mascot to the Marvel comic character. That wouldn't surprise me, but I'd never really thought about that. If we wanted to blur the lines there, then yes, the Hawkeye, the comic book character, may stand a puncher's chance, unlike the other humans, against a badger. The Boilermaker, if you go mascot, Pete has a sledgehammer. And if you had fast enough reflexes, the Badger and the Wolverine, if you caught them perhaps in fall or winter, I believe they hibernate, and maybe early in the spring, they're just coming out of their winter slumber, so they're a little slow, maybe Purdue Pete is able to come through with a sledgehammer. And if that paints a rather violent picture in your head, my apologies for it, but we're trying to get to the bottom of a very serious subject here. We're treating this with the gravity that Mike Leach treated the original question. We're just applying it to the Big Ten mascots here. We all agree that the Gopher stands no chance.
What about the Scarlet Knight, though? Because he has
suit
armor,
of armor
against that badger.
The armor is going to slow you down. So in the event that you tried to retreat, maybe you don't get too far in the suit of armor. And then the badger just needs to find He needs to find your Achilles heel or a soft spot in the armor, and it's all over. 319-366-1600. These are the serious things that we discuss here on a program in which Iowa has no game this week. Normally, we would be hearing from Kirk Ferentz right now, and we would be talking about the depth chart and things of that nature and very, very in-depth stuff here. And judging by the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line and the number of texts that are coming in right now, many of you do understand what we try to do here from time to time. 366-1600 if you want to chime in.
3530 asks, since Gene Cady is the Boilermaker, what if the Boilermaker is actually just an angry Gene Cady in his prime?
There was a little bit of similarity between Gene Cady and the Boilermaker. You will never have a Big Ten coach who looks more like his school's mascot than Bo Ryan did when he was at Wisconsin.
Huh. I never thought about it that way.
If I were Bucky Badger, I would want a paternity test. I'm just curious. There was a lot of Bo Ryan in the Badger, and the Badger was there before Bo Ryan. 319-366-1600. Can you imagine Kirk Ferentz being asked that question? If somebody were
would
to...
Would he snort?
Oh, he'd brush it aside. He wouldn't even answer it. He would, wouldn't even dignify. He'd probably get thrown out of the news conference by the folks in Iowa City.
Can we test this?
For not... Gladly. If this is what it took to get me completely thrown off the Iowa beat after all of the things that I've said and written over the years, I'm willing to maybe take that chance. But we won't get it this week because, as we mentioned, Kirk Ferentz doesn't have a news conference.
Brian might answer the question.
Brian may answer the question and then turn it around and throw it to an individual member of the media whom I will not name, just to test that media member. 319-366-1600. Remember, Tennessee wanted nothing to do with Mike Leach. And they wound up with Jeremy Pruitt. Mike Leach is living his best life in Pullman, Washington right now.
And he has another really good team. That was telling you, he has a good team.
I watched them. That was a fun game against Houston. Dana Holgorsen and Mike Leach, who've known each other since their days at Iowa Wesleyan, both of them bringing the air raid offense to full-blown tilt. Mike Leach had a much more experienced team, but Houston hung in there and tried to make a game of it. And there was plenty of love for Mount Pleasant, Iowa. And Hal Mumme and the birth of the air raid offense, and teacher got the best of pupil in that matchup. 366-1600. Let's go to Michael in North Liberty. Michael, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I hear your guys' debate about the mascots, and I think it's a pretty interesting one. I'm sure you guys are aware that the Hawkeye comes from last, the Mohicans, right?
Technically, yes, but they have the name comes from the book, The Last of the Mohicans, but they have given the Hawkeye an animal form. So you're trying to say, you're making the argument here that you've got to go with the human.
I think in a fight, one-on-one, Hawkeye takes down a Badger. From the novel I read, I don't think it'd even be close.
Okay, just James Fenimore Cooper, I believe, is the author of the book here, not to go all George Raveling on everybody and turn this into a book review, but the book written by James Fenimore Cooper, Last of the Mohicans, that's where the name Hawkeye comes from. It was adopted very early on. History lesson here. Should have had this last week as opposed to this
week.
But when people fight over the Hawkeye State and the Cyclone State, the nickname Hawkeye State actually is older than the University of Iowa. So the nickname has nothing to do with the University of Iowa. But you got to have a fight, right? And if you're not fighting a school's band or you're not doing something else, then you're arguing over Hawkeye State and Cyclone State. 319-366-1600. The Hawkeye.
Can we get a press release on who we would think would win this fight?
Well, if it were the mascot, they did make Herky last season. They made him sleeker. They got rid of the fiberglass helmet.
Yeah.
And so now, I see if it was the old fiberglass helmet, football Herky, as they like to call him. Again, unwieldy, not going to be able to outrun some of these vicious animals. Can we all agree, though, that the gopher stands no? The gopher would be the first to go. The gopher would get into the ring and immediately be thrown over the top ropes.
What about the turtle?
The turtle is interesting.
Is it a snapping turtle?
Because, again, he would just have to wait things out. Turtles have a very long life, right? They live to be like 150 years old or something like that.
Yeah, but
now, it's not a Galapagos tortoise. So, I don't know. Again, Purdue Pete has a sledgehammer. I would like to point this out again, not to get too graphic for the city folk out there. Anybody who's ever hunted for turtles and cleaned a turtle understands this, but Purdue Pete has a sledgehammer. It's not going to be a match for the terrapin. So again, from the human standpoint here, I think it comes down to Purdue Pete and the badger, although the wolverine is a ferocious animal as well. Badger takes it. Big Ten West.
Oh, those Badgers are nasty creatures.
Mike Leach. I sent him a thank you card. Especially
honey badgers.
I saw it different, completely different genus. Genus? Species? I sort of paid attention in high school, but not really.
They're not even in the same family?
My former co-host tweeted that he would love to have Mike Leach on his program, and I tweeted to him, the dude will answer the phone if you call him.
He will. He'll come on your show.
He will. Literally, we had him in the meal line at the Alamo Bowl.
He joined us after the walkthrough, the day before the game.
The day before the game, and you can hear plates and silverware clanking in the background, and he's talking to us during one of their last meals before going out and facing Iowa State in San Antonio last year. I told Tyler, call him. He'll do. And then I thought, well, no, because there's a huge difference in, I think, a three-hour time difference. Tennessee is on Eastern time. And so if Tyler's on at 6 in the morning, it'd be 3 a.m. in Pullman, Washington. And then maybe Mike Leach wouldn't like to answer the phone. But I still bet he'd probably do it. 5:53, we'll take a quick timeout. We will get serious again. Matt Campbell, some audio from earlier today as Iowa State gears up for its rebound game against ULM Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. We'll hear what Jamie Pollard had to say about the accusations that the Iowa band was mistreated in Ames over the weekend as well. That's all coming up. Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register with us in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
Come January of 2020, Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7. If you don't upgrade, the probability is very strong to get viruses. The audits that we've been currently doing, we tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced to know exactly where they're at in the process.
Call NCS at 247-7223, Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
5:56, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM. This is for the texter in the 4 o'clock hour who did not want us to talk about the Iowa band and Iowa State. That's what you get when you say don't talk about something. You get 15, 20 minutes on a hypothetical matchup. Iowa fans are really upset that the Hawkeye is not getting more love, and there is a ton of support on the text line for the Spartan. I'm getting a lot of, have you not seen the movie 300? The Spartan has a sword. Anybody who's seen the movie would know that the Spartan is the correct answer there. I'm going with the Badger. 319-366-1600. Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register said to join us at the top of hour number three. We're not going to ask him his thoughts on this. I believe the Iowa State fans are correct. If you did the Big 12 version, nothing would beat a Cyclone. It's going to pick up a Longhorn. It's going to pick up a Bear. It's going to do
pick up the Boomer Schooner.
It's going to do some major damage to somebody who's just trying to enjoy the land rush in Oklahoma.
What about that Horned Frog?
Gone. No chance. So there you go. Iowa State fans, you can take solace in knowing that your mascot. Now, again, the mascot is technically a cardinal because of the color cardinal. So if it's Psy instead of a cyclone, yeah, it's a debate for another time and another place. We'll hear from Matt Campbell coming up in the third and final hour of the program, Jamie Pollard as well, and we'll kick things off with Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register. We'll get his thoughts on Iowa State's revealing today of what could be quite a grand construction project around Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum, Stevens Auditorium, a feasibility study to see whether or not they can pull this off. But if anybody can do it, it's Jamie Pollard. And you can seriously stop with all of the texts about Spartans and Sparta and the movie 300 and the Spartan having a sword. I'm just not seeing it. Purdue Pete has the sledgehammer. I don't want to get too graphic there. But again, Spartan, he'll make it. He'll make it to the final round. We're going to need Mike Leach to weigh in on this.
Can we get Mike Leach on the phone, please,
Kyle? Do we have any connections newspaper in Pullman? Maybe next week they can ask Mike his thoughts on Big Ten mascots. We've got for you a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. Caller number 6, you're going to take home that gift card right now, 319-366-1600. The Fieldhouse on First Avenue, a great place to watch the games this weekend, even though Iowa's not playing. Caller number 6, it's yours, 366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is when we return after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
NASCAR Xfinity Series action going down from the desert at Las Vegas Motor Speedway this weekend, and the last race for drivers to get themselves into the playoffs for this series. Tyler Reddick making a statement with a win to round out the regular season, hoisting the trophy for the regular season championship.
Oh, you know, just our guys, Randall did a great job letting me know early on what we needed to do, and we're able to run the shortest distance around the racetrack and save some fuel. And you know, it's really cool to win races this way, because I feel like we've given a few races up that should have been ours. So you always look back and think that way, but it's kind of nice to kind of sneak in and take advantage of a certain situation and make the smarter choice. And you know, we didn't have anything to lose where we were, so we were able to come down and just mix it up, and it played into our hand. If we would have had a caution with 10 to go, it probably would have been interesting, but it worked in our favor. So I'll take it. We'll all take it, and it was a good way to cap the night of capturing the regular season championship and get 5 more playoff points.
Christopher Bell took home second place, followed by Brandon Jones, Cole Custer, and Justin Allgaier rounds out the top 5. 12 drivers head to their playoff system, but here's the top 6 seeds heading into Richmond this coming weekend. Short track action, Justin Allgaier is in 6th place. Then it's Chase Briscoe, Austin Cindric, Tyler Reddick, and these two each with 6 wins on the regular season, Cole Custer and Christopher Bell.
Like us at facebook.com/thefinallap.
The 2019 Ford F-150 is... Wait, what's the word? How would you describe something that has a body made out of high-strength, military-grade aluminum alloy? Something with best-in-class torque and payload that can tow up to 13,200 pounds. And something with the smarts to know that even after being able to do all of that, you can always use a little help from available Pro Trailer Backup Assist. Oh, that's right. I remember the word. It's tough. The 2019 Ford F-150. Built Ford tough.
Max towing is achieved on F-150 XL Super Crew. 6.5-foot box, 3.5-liter EcoBoost, 4x2, and max trailer tow package. Max payload is achieved on F-150 XL regular cab. 8-foot box, 5-liter, 4x2, and heavy-duty payload package. Class is full-size pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR. Max towing varies based on cargo, vehicle configuration, accessories, and number of passengers. Max payload varies based on accessories and vehicle configuration. See label on door jam for carrying capacity of a specific vehicle. Towing and payload are independent attributes and may not be achieved simultaneously.
Dell's semi-annual sale is officially on. You now have the rare chance to get the latest Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors at 17% off, a discount usually reserved just for Dell employees. Shop a wide selection of leading-edge Dell and Alienware monitors and more, all with free shipping. Call 800-BUY-DELL or go to dell.com/semi-annual sale to enjoy huge limited-time employee savings. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Do you think all premium fuels are the same? Well, your engine doesn't. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus helps keep your engine running like new because it's engineered to defend against four main engine threats: gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So next time, choose Shell's most advanced fuel ever. It's fuel for thought. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence, like our free battery testing. If you're having trouble starting your car, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. We'll test your battery for free and help you figure out the real issue, so you don't spend money on stuff you don't need. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com.
Restrictions and details in store. Based on data from the MPD Group Incorporated, car care track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up, ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
6:05, welcome in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM as well. Twins baseball on the horizon tonight, taking on the Chicago White Sox. You'll hear that on 107.5 FM. The National League Central Pennant Race and Wild Card highlighted on our other two frequencies as the St. Louis Cardinals continue hosting the Washington Nationals. Miles Michaelis and former Colonels left-hander Patrick Corbin, the pitching matchup at Busch Stadium tonight. So plenty of baseball, both American League and National League, on the way for you this evening. Congratulations to Steve in Cedar Rapids. Steve is taking home a $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We'll have not one, but two opportunities for you to enjoy a Fieldhouse gift card coming up on tomorrow's program. Right now, though, as promised, Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register is with us. Tommy fully recovered from Saturday's Cy-Hawk showdown. And, Tommy, we want to start by discussing with you the vision that was laid out today by Jamie Pollard and Iowa State. These proposed, I can't call them renovations, but the development around Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trice Stadium. What details can you give us on this? What do we know about this at this point? Obviously, it's in the early stages here, but this is something Iowa State seems quite serious about.
Yeah, I would say this is kind of in the earliest stages possible. I mean, right now it's pretty much a plan without an idea specifically, at least, being addressed to us, how much money it's going to cost or just when they could even have it done. But the idea is basically the way Jamie Pollard even words it, putting in a power and light district pretty much surrounding kind of that area in between Jack Trice Stadium and Hilton Coliseum, just offering possibly a hotel and just other possible business ventures that could be in that area to create kind of a more soothing game day like atmosphere, you know, just an offering of other things to do for fans and basically moving the commuter lots to a different portion around the stadium. So the idea also includes a bridge to kind of help tailgaters get from one spot to the other. So, but it's like I said, right now everything is very vague. They do have some drawings out there. They do have some plans, but you know they haven't even gotten to the feasibility study yet, which will tell them just what they can do and how much it'll cost if they want to do it. But the one thing is, when Jamie Pollard does have a plan, he usually sees it through.
When you look at where that is located and what part of campus that the proposed plan would take place, I sort of call this like a pro sports town thing. You see these types of things being built up around Major League Baseball stadiums and NFL stadiums around the country. Can this work in a college atmosphere, and especially where it's located on the or near the Iowa State campus?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny that you ask that, because the company that they're looking at to partner with to hire to help with this project has done it at some other stadiums, some other colleges. I believe the University of Oregon was one of them. I'm not 100% sure. But it's like you said, this has been done at some professional arenas, and one of the other places that this company has done it is at Wrigleyville. You know, I was just in Texas earlier in the summer for the Big 12 media days, and the Texas Rangers Stadium had an area kind of like this, which I envision it resembling a lot like, with bars, restaurants, different shops, stuff like that. So it's certainly groundbreaking in the aspect that you certainly don't see a lot of colleges doing this. One of the benefits for Iowa State is they already own the land. They already control the land. That's going to help streamline the process and get it moving along. But there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to this, including just coming up with the money to embark on such a project. But it certainly seems like the pieces are in place to do this.
Tommy Burch with us from the Des Moines Register. Let's talk dollars and cents right here. How would you cobble together the money? Obviously, the athletic department would be involved, private donations. If you're going to involve parts of the university, the research park, I'm sure they could dip into some of the university's money that's separate from the athletic department. Any idea on what the cost would be here if they deem this feasible?
No idea right now, and that's part of the deal when it comes to just what Iowa State really wants to do with this. And you know, obviously donors are the ones that they're going after big time. You know, Jamie Pollard said they even did a presentation, I believe, on Friday night for some high-level donors. And the idea is centered around the success of a football program. And even though it's not being, specifically said, at least in the press releases, the big selling point, at least in the presentation that we saw as media members, was, you know, this is this is something that, you know, indirectly could help Pete Mac Campbell at Iowa State. That's at least kind of the impression I got from walking away, that, you know, they want to sell it to donors that, hey, Iowa State football is in its prime right now. It's having more success than ever. And the reason is Mac Campbell. Let's give him another reason to want to stay in Ames. And a project like this not only helps recruiting, but sells, I guess, the football program as well.
Tommy Birch with us from the Des Moines Register. Let's get to some actual Iowa State football here in the final couple minutes that we've got with you. We'll hear from Matt Campbell and some of the highlights he had to say earlier today. But Louisiana Monroe, he seems, Iowa fans think he was taking a shot at the Hawkeyes when he said Louisiana Monroe is the most athletic team that they've seen so far this season. But this is a team that went toe-to-toe with Florida State and lost by a point recently. I think he may have a point here.
Yeah, it's certainly an athletic team that has opened the eyes to a lot of people around college football and gave another Power 5 school a scare. So, yeah, maybe it was a shot at Iowa, but I think it was more of an eye-opening, words of wisdom, not only to the media, but to his team to say, hey, you need to have your complete attention on this team. And I think that's something Iowa State is definitely going to have, because I talked about this earlier, and I feel like Iowa State at this point has already had its fair share of humble pie. I mean, you had a triple overtime close call with you and I. You had that close call at the end of last season with Drake. At this point, if you're Iowa State, you have seen just how close you can come to ending up the lead story on ESPN.com with a major upset. So they should be going into this game with open eyes and taking them very seriously, not just because of what this team has already done, but because of what Iowa State's already experienced.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that question. This is not going to be the first time that a lot of these players have had to bounce back from a tough loss against Iowa. It's 3 years in a row where they felt like they were in striking distance. Two of them, they've probably felt like they should have won, and they've been able to bounce back the last 2 years. Is sort of the same thing expected this time around, even though this time around it seemed like it might have been even more of a tough loss?
Yeah, I think so. I think I still look at this game as kind of a confidence building, momentum building, answer a lot of type of questions type game as you get ready for Big 12 play. So Iowa State's, I believe, like a 21-point favorite. Todd would know better than I would.
Hey.
But, and rightfully so, because, look, you know, it's at home. Iowa State has proven that it's got talent to, you know, nearly knock off a top 25 team in Iowa. So it should be a team that Iowa State doesn't have any problems with, but, you never know, I guess.
What do you think the number one takeaway Iowa State walked away from last Saturday's game with?
I think there's got to be a lot more confidence in that offensive line. You know, I think that's been the biggest question mark, you know, the entire offseason. That was a giant question mark after the UNI game. How good is this offensive line going to be? I really do think it took some massive, strong strides in the right direction. Now, there are other question marks that are still kind of up in the air when it comes to Iowa State. Who's going to take on that role as the go-to running back? Can Iowa State get some things cleared up on special teams? You know, they're a talented team, but they've shown, hey, they're not good enough to turn the football over, make silly mistakes, and have untimely penalties to overcome. You know, it's the team that still has to win in the margins and do all the little things right. For as far as Iowa State has come over the years, it's not like they're a team that's going to beat you on sheer talent so far.
You mentioned the running back position, and I think a lot of people maybe expected that Breece Hall would step up and be that guy right away. Looks like he's kind of fighting through a little bit of the growing pains of being a true freshman, running the football and in pass protection. Has Kenne Nwango possibly separated himself a little bit?
Possibly. You know, when you look at all those running backs, I think you can go down the list. When you look at every running back from the UNI game to the Iowa game, you can say all those guys did something good. You know, Sheldon Crony Jr. looked good at the end of the UNI game. Breece Hall had some moments. Kinane Nwangu played really well at times in the UNI game and played really well at times during the Iowa game. You know, even Johnny Lang had some moments. But every one of those guys, for as good as they looked at some moments, they all have a moment, too, where you're like, oh, man, maybe that's not the guy. Sheldon Crony Jr. had the fumble at the end of the UNI game. Johnny Lang had a key block early on in the UNI game that ended up as a costly foul. You know, all these guys have shown that they've got the potential to be the guy, but nobody has really run away with it. So even though right now it seems like Kinane Nwangu may have the inside edge, what probably hurts his cause is I don't know if he's 100% healthy right now. So he's got to get healthy and really get out there to show that he can be the main man.
Tommy Burch, like most of the rest of his colleagues at the Des Moines Register, has his items behind a paywall now at the Register's website. Support local journalism. Give him a subscription. Thanks a lot, Tommy. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
Tommy Burch, give him a follow on Twitter. And yes, I believe, I was actually looking at the moment at the Elite Sportsbooks website, trying to find the most up-to-the-minute line. What did he speculate?
That it was 21, did he say?
I thought it was a little less than that.
It's 18 and a half, according to ESPN, but I don't...
19 at Riverside. So there you go, Iowa State fans. If you want to put some money on the Cyclones bouncing back in a big way... And if there are folks out there that are looking at a one-point loss to Florida State saying, whoa, 19 points is way too many, keep in mind, South Alabama was getting 19 points against Memphis 20. Last weekend. 20-21 when it went off the board. You couldn't put a big enough number on that game, apparently. We found out Memphis has an elite defense last weekend. 319-366-1600. We will take a quick timeout when we come back. Kyle, we'll get you a big board update, and then we'll hear a little bit of what Matt Campbell had to say today, as well as Jamie Pollard's comment on the mysterious Iowa news release yesterday. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Right now at Menards, get huge savings throughout the store during the Fall Catalog Sale. Add comfort and style to your home with new carpet from Mohawk. McAllister Plush Carpet or Perfect Style Frise Carpet. Available in two colors each. Are your choice only $119 a square foot. Plus, get free carpet pad with purchase after rebate. Now during Menards Fall Catalog Sale. Sale prices are good through Saturday, September 21st.
Save big money at Menards.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food. Stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue. Cedar Rapids.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes.
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes.
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
621, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way from the comforts of the KGYM studios here on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in eastern Iowa. Tomorrow we will be in Iowa City listening to Iowa's coordinators addressing the media. And Thursday we'll be out and about at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. That's right, the next edition of the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. This time on Thursday, you could be with us enjoying half-price wings every Thursday night, 6 until close, at Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. We'll have more details about some of the great things Mulligan's offers when we're not there for the road trip coming up throughout the course of the week as well. But make plans now, whether you knock off work a little early on Thursday or make it a pit stop on the way home. Mulligan's Pub, you always get a chance at a better day. 1060 Old Marion Road, northeast side of town. We'll have some tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in action as they are about to get their season underway next month. Todd and Alex with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Baseball on the horizon. Twins, White Sox. It is Martin Perez on the mound for Minnesota this evening at Target Field. That's coming your way on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Other two frequencies. A matchup of great importance in both the National League Central race as well as the wild card race. This is another no-win situation for the Chicago Cubs, who they need to win. They need to win to control their own destiny, but Washington is half a game ahead of the Cubs in the wild card standings right now for home field advantage in the wild card game. Kind of a big deal because it's a one-game-and-done situation. So the Cubs would like Washington to lose, right? Well, the Nationals are playing the Cardinals. So if Washington loses, ergo, St. Louis is winning, and that is going to prevent the Cubs from gaining any ground on the Cardinals in the division race. Again, if you win the division, you're a little bit more secure than a one-and-done wild card scenario, which would be the second year in a row the Cubs found themselves in that position. Buckle up. It's going to be, I don't want to say a fun ride over the next couple weeks. It's going to be a ride as the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers still trying to figure things out in the NL Central. Mitch Keller on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. They are already underway, taking on the Seattle Mariners. Really disturbing news today with regard to Felipe Vasquez, the closer for the Pirates. He is being pursued for charges of having a sexual relationship with a minor. That is quite the creepy story to have to come across earlier today as I'm scrolling through my MLB news feed looking for information on Mitch's start for the Pirates tonight. But a bad season, truly now officially off the rails for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Luis Severino back on the mound for the Yankees tonight. We'll talk baseball and more cut up with you on a Wednesday edition of the program. Scoreless, by the way, between the Pirates and Mariners through one inning so far. Let's go ahead and play. This is what Jamie Pollard had to say earlier today in Ames with regard to the news release that was put out yesterday about 2:30, 3 o'clock by the University of Iowa, alleging an incident between the Hawkeye Marching Band and fans, plural, I believe, in Ames. The release was vague, and this is Jamie Pollard addressing from Iowa State's standpoint, Iowa putting out the release, and this is a good almost 4 minutes here of Jamie Pollard telling Iowa State's side of the story.
What I would share with you all first and foremost is we care about everyone that comes to Jack Trice Stadium, any of our venues for that matter, whether they're Iowa State fans or they're visiting fans. And we go to great care to make sure that we do our absolute best to give people a great experience and keep them safe. Are we absolutely perfect? Heck no. If anybody looked at my inbox after any football game, there's a ton of imperfections. But we welcome that because we strive to improve, okay? That being said, it's tough to comment on this situation because all we know is that Iowa issued a press release. I couldn't tell you what happened, when it happened, or where it happened. No one's been able to ascertain that information or provide it to us. What we do know is this. We do know that their band traveled here with 4 police officers, one from the University of Iowa and 3 deputies from the Polk County Sheriff's Office. And our police chief, Chief Newton, has spoke with the police chief at the University of Iowa, and not one of those 4 officers saw anything, reported anything, or most importantly, had anybody in the band or any of the band directors share anything with them about anything that happened during the day they were here. And those 4 officers were with them the entire day. Secondly, our band director was with their band director at the end of the night on Saturday night, and not one thing was said about any incidents that happened. I'm not here to say something didn't happen, because I don't know. But all we know is a press release was issued that alleges something happened. I'm assuming they wouldn't issue the press release if something didn't happen, but no one has said what or where or when. You know, I can assure you this. We are committed to giving people a safe environment. We've got more cameras around Jack Trice Stadium. Tell me what happened, where it happened, and when it happened, and I'll bet we got a video of it happening, okay? But got to know that to be able to figure it out. And I'll just conclude with this, is we love having the Iowa band here. We welcome it. It's a big part of the collegiate environment. I've had many of our Cyclone fans say, you know, last year our band got banished to the upper deck of the stadium and had to walk a half mile to their buses over in Iowa City, you know, after the game, and, you know, experience some things that nobody should have to experience, and wanted us to do the same thing to their band. And we said, absolutely not. You know, the young men and women that are in the band, they deserve to have their moment in time. And so we put the Iowa band down by the field like we always do. Likewise, I had fans tell me during the game, don't let them perform at halftime because the field's too wet, right? But I know that family, friends come to watch those band members perform. And so we allowed them to do that too. We'll always want to have their band here. And it pains me to think that possibly, that they didn't have a great experience. Because if that happened, then shame on us. Because Cyclone fans are far better than that. And if we had a few Cyclone fans that acted inappropriately and damaged that, that's a shame. Because here's what I do know happened last week, Chris. This state had a national audience with game day. And it was an awesome celebratory day for both Iowa and Iowa State. And it brought great exposure to the Cy-Hawk series and to the Iowa Corn and everything great about this state. And it pains me to think that a pretty vague release has kind of damaged that nationally. That's unfortunate. So we're waiting to hear what, where, when, and we'll gladly jump in and try to help. But, you know, until then, it's pretty hard because we don't know what we're looking for.
I am here for the level of passive aggressiveness that was in that statement from Jamie Pollard, because
I'd be so mad, too.
In addressing the allegations, and again, the statement Iowa put out was really vague, in acknowledging that he doesn't really know what's going on. And again, I have had somebody tell me that Iowa did make them aware of an issue. So somebody's not telling the truth here. One side is not telling the truth. But in and amongst the statement addressing how awful it would be the Iowa fans, the Iowa marching band being mistreated, there's a lot of passive aggressiveness there with where Iowa seats the visiting band and how Iowa State had to walk a great distance to its bus last year. And I'm sure they were encountered by Hawkeye fans. So I am a very passive aggressive individual myself. So kudos to Jamie Pollard for making sure that he got his pound of flesh in his public commentary with regard to Iowa's allegations that there was something that occurred between the Iowa band and the Iowa State fan base on Saturday. And again, it's Iowa said this, Iowa State saying not aware of anything. It sounds as if somebody at Iowa is under the impression Iowa State did know something occurred, and they're not saying anything. It's all they said, he said at this point in time, and it's a certain level of petty that you have to embrace if you're an Iowa or Iowa State fan here. It's just this is now going to become stitched in the fabric of the lore of the Cy-Hawk rivalry.
Yeah, it seems really, like you said, petty at this point. And
so passive-aggressive.
Very passive. He didn't sound happy.
No, he
was
did not.
He was not happy.
It's a happy day in Ames. They're going to build a giant Buffalo Wild Wings or something in between the stadiums. And
I don't blame him either.
A Sephora really and big shopping mall. I don't know what else they'll try to. Let's get Sonny in Iowa City in here before our a final big board update from Kyle. Sonny, what's going on? What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I obviously want to talk about the Jamie Pollard thing, and I'm a hardcore Hawkeye fan. I was in the drumline for 3 years, and I got to go with Jamie Pollard on this. I think that Iowa issuing that press release was flat ridiculous. It offers no clue for the other side to investigate anything. So how did they expect them to respond other than be upset? They can't do anything. Every media station in Iowa is running this, and now ESPN is running it as well, with zero actual accusations that can be investigated. If the athletic department issued this press release, that is an absolute shame on them. They should have either made a concrete accusation that then can be addressed, because I'm not saying that nothing happened. I'm sure something happened. Just name it, or wait a couple days to investigate it yourself so that then you can issue the press release naming the accusation. To have this vague thing saying that you're investigating something like that, what does that do other than just anger everybody and make a news story that nobody can verify? Like it's just ridiculous on Iowa's part, and I'm very not happy about it.
Sonny, appreciate the phone call tonight, and here I come down on this thusly. Whatever the incident is, and I'm not rooting for this as the outcome, but whatever the incident is, better be serious enough where it's head and shoulders above anything that's happened in the past between the one school's band and another school's fan base, because we got enough responses yesterday, incidents between Iowa fans and the Iowa State band and Iowa State fans over the years, that if this is on par with all those other incidents, Sonny's got a point. Iowa State's getting publicly embarrassed right now because of this vague news release. And they already lost the game on Saturday. And this sort of seems like another level of petty where Iowa's just getting one more jab in.
Yeah, like what's the point?
Well, we'll find. I hope we find out.
What is the point of that news
I hope
release?
We find out.
I do too.
But again, much like a news release that came out several months ago revealing a rift between a basketball coach and a play-by-play broadcaster who may or may not have been on the gym class earlier today, some things are better left unsaid. And this is something that Iowa and Iowa State could have dealt with, I think, privately, because I don't think there was a ton of chatter on message boards or social media.
There was none.
And you would think that the way that Iowa treated this, that it was pretty public knowledge that thousands of people knew something happened. And I'm just not seeing that here. And I hope the good folks at Iowa don't take it personally, because sometimes one person goes above and beyond and everybody else gets dragged along kicking and screaming here, and their names get dragged through the mud. I keep going back to mud. I'm still not over Saturday night. I'm all for this project because more paved parking means I'm not ruining another new pair of shoes in 2 years, although it may be way more than 2 years before this thing gets off the ground. Kyle is with us in the studio. Time for his third and final big board update. Three times a day on the program, courtesy of Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. He keeps you up to date on what's going on across the state and locally here in the corridor.
There was some exciting news out of Ames this morning as Iowa State formally announced its intent to explore a complete reimagining of the Iowa State Center and the land between Hilton Coliseum and Jack Trice Stadium, ultimately seeking to create what Jamie Pollard has referred to as the Power and Light District of Ames. All in the plans are a slight increase in paved parking, a pedestrian bridge from that parking to Jack Trice, as well as practice facilities for wrestling and volleyball, and a hope to attract businesses and hotels. In regards to a statement released yesterday by Iowa's Gary Barta alleging that the Iowa band had been subjected to inappropriate behavior while in Ames over the weekend, Pollard says four police officers accompanied the Iowa band and none of them reported anything. And furthermore, as of this morning, he said nobody from Iowa had provided him with details as to when, where, or what happened. Matt Campbell spoke with the media over in Ames, and if there's any silver lining to last weekend's loss, it's that his team came out without any new health concerns and, in fact, feels good about the depth it found in that loss. Center Colin Newell is still questionable this week, but Campbell spoke very highly of Trevor Downing's performance in his place and says the line actually took a step forward. He said for the first time in his time at Iowa State, his offensive line was able to go into the Iowa game and compete. The Twins have a five-game lead in the AL Central with only 12 games remaining in the regular season, so as they creep closer to their magic number, we'll continue to bring you their games on 107.5 FM The North Gym, tonight hosting the White Sox. We're also going to have the Cardinals and Nationals jostling for playoff positioning on the South and Main gyms.
Well, let's hear a little bit of what Matt Campbell had to say earlier today. Let's go ahead and start with the comment that some Iowa fans have latched on to. We referenced it with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, claiming that ULM, the University of Louisiana Monroe, will be the most skilled team that Iowa State has faced so far this season.
A little bit about our next opponent. You know, I think a great challenge for us, to be honest with you, probably the most, in terms of skill, the most talented team we played from a skill standpoint this year. You're talking about a team that's got a senior quarterback who's had an outstanding career, has played really good in his first two football games, tremendous tailback, you know, an entire offensive line that's coming back. You can see why they played so well 2 weeks ago. And then defensively, almost their entire front seven coming back on the defensive side of the football. So a team that can really run defensively creates a lot of havoc. And then offensively, you know, as skilled as anybody we played.
As skilled as anybody that we've played. That's ULM out of what conference?
Are they the Sun Belt?
Not the Big Ten Conference. So
no,
again,
either the Sun Belt.
If you're out there looking, and yesterday it was a tweet from a gas station. Today, if you're looking to be offended, you can read whatever you want to. And Matt Campbell making that comment about ULM. Here's a couple clips. We'll go ahead and play these back to back. Matt Campbell looking back on Saturday, some of the details that need to be addressed, and in particular, talking about the special teams miscues that helped seal the Cyclones' fate.
When you reviewed the tape from Saturday, the detail and discipline stuff that you talked about immediately after the game, what was your thoughts on why or how those occurred and that they were, I guess, situational or maybe systemic to continued issues?
Yeah, I think the positive is I don't think they were, you know, it was certainly nothing that happened in the UNI game that carried over. You know, I think for some of it was just situational. And again, that's where when I watch our kids play as hard as they did and I saw the growth that we made, those are things where you got to go back and say, where and what can we continue to make sure those things don't happen again? And, you know, I think the, you know, discipline standpoint is probably not the right word, but the detail and precision piece that it takes to play elite football, and we've shown to be able to do that. The consistency of being able to do that is what's critical for us to win, and it, win period any football game, but certainly win a game, you know, in that situation. So I think those were the things that we took from it, and obviously, again, structurally, how do you as the head coach continue to provide ways to be better teachers and to do a great job of putting your kids in a better situation to be successful? And so I think all things will carry with us and continue to move forward.
How concerned are you about some of the mistakes that have happened through the first two games on special teams? And I guess what do you have to get corrected there?
You know, I think the biggest thing for me was not so much the miscues on special teams as much as, you know, you had a new guy back in the kick return aspect of things due to injury, you know, and I think it was a situation that was a tough call. You know, we should have done a better job as the coaches, you know, probably not putting Johnny in that situation. And then, on the punt return standpoint or the punt situation that happened in the game, you know, Joe's done a great job punting the football. We've done a great job covering, put ourselves in a backed up situation. And again, I think it's more the situational thing that happened. But I really think overall we have taken a huge step forward special teams wise. But and then obviously the last play that happens in the game, you know, it's a situational deal, you know, and it's tough because, you know, Speedy does a great job. He's on one of their best gunners. I think he's looking at the returner. The call comes in a smidgen late right at the last second, and he doesn't see it. And, you know, again, a communication error where we got to continue to do a great job. And how can we coach it better? It's not our players. It's us as coaches. So when it's those things, I'm not as concerned because I think we've got great coaches, and I see the attitude and effort of our kids. It's not a great concern for me right now.
Again, listening to some of the highlights of Matt Campbell's news conference in Ames earlier today. Normally, we would be hearing from Kirk Ferentz on a Tuesday edition of the program, but Kirk does not talk this week because the Hawkeyes don't have a game. Brian Ferentz, Phil Parker, and LeVar Woods will meet with us tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Let's continue on listening to Matt Campbell's comments. The offensive line, a subject of much discussion coming into the season. He saw growth again in week 3 against Iowa.
So hard if you're not watching the tape to judge an offensive line, but you seem pretty encouraged after the game. What did you see from film from that group and your, you know, anticipation for them going forward?
Well, I thought, in my honest opinion, I thought one of our great challenges was this game, this past weekend, to that offensive line. I think a really good defensive front, maybe one of the best defensive fronts in college football. And if we were going to have success, we were going to have to find a way to win that battle or have a way to compete. And be honest with you, for the last 3 years, we really haven't. And I thought for the first time since we played in this game, we've been able to go and really compete. And I was really proud of those guys. You know, I thought, you know, across the board, you know, between Good Jones and Meeker, I thought they played their best 2 games, you know, their career so far for us. Now the challenge is, can they continue to play at that level? That'll be the challenge and continue to get better. And then, you know, to insert a you know, Trevor, his first official start, I thought he was really physical, thought he played really good football. I thought the guy that was, you know, would have been the player of the game in terms of success for us would have been Colin Olsen moving to center. I thought he was incredible. You know, what we asked him to do, the pulling, the moving, you know, being singled up inside a little bit throughout the football game. I thought he was tremendous, and obviously Kniffel is the same guy every day. So, you know, I think that group took another huge step forward in terms of confidence and continues to grow. And is it perfect? No, but it'll never be. That's a position it's never going to be perfect. But, you know, to not give up a sack throughout the football game, to be able to really efficiently run the football and be physical in doing so, I thought that was really big and big for that group.
I came away impressed with their performance as well Saturday night. I don't know what you thought, but especially with Colin Newell being out and Trevor Downing being thrown into the fire as a young player, the offensive line held its own against A.J. Epenesa and the rest of the Iowa defensive line.
Yeah, they were much better, and I think the word that he uses there is compete with Iowa's defensive line. They've gotten their tails whooped like 2 years in a row. Up front, and they did a much better job this time. Part of it was their game plan. They sent a lot of double teams and chips to AJ Epenesa's side, but part of it was Brock Purdy's ability to get rid of the football. But yeah, in the running game, I thought they were able to get the running game going a little bit, average almost 5 yards per carry, and that's going to bode well for them moving forward. That's been a clear deficiency for them. And if they can get some kind of production from that group, they're still going to have a very, very good season.
Let's squeeze in one final clip here from Matt Campbell. We're getting tight on time. It's my fault. We spent too much time on the stupid mascot discussion in the 5 o'clock hour. The self-inflicted wounds. which again helped lead to Iowa State's demise on Saturday against Iowa, very much still at the forefront at today's news conference. Matt Campbell talking about reducing those self-inflicted wounds.
It seemed like your biggest frustration offensively, I think listening last night, was, you know, getting inside the 35 or so, right, and then just, you know, missing opportunities. Is it the something like false starts, or does it just get tougher when it gets tight in that part of the field?
No, I think that's the thing. If you said there's any little, you know, carryover, is we've driven the football in the first two games with great consistency, maybe more consistently than we have, to be honest with you, since we've been here. Our issue is, you know, a little bit of it. It's the fourth and three. We have the false start. You know, you're driving down there and you know, Brock gets knocked out of his hands. We fumble the football. You know, it's been those little things, that those are things that we can control, and we're not controlling what we can control. And so I just think that's for an offense that's still trying that offense every week's going to only get better and better, because there are so many new guys that are getting new roles. And I think that's part of the growth process that you have when you lose a guy, like Randy said, you lose David Montgomery and you lose Hakeem Butler. You're seeing guys step up doing some really great things, but it's those details, it's those little things that we got to just continue to shore up and pound away at if we want to be the best version of us we can be. So, yeah, that would have been my greatest frustration, because I thought overall there was a lot of huge positive between game one and game two on that side of the ball.
Matt Campbell in Ames, looking ahead to ULM and looking back on the loss to Iowa last Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium. Do we have time to get his thoughts on the Sports Performance Center Power and Light District, the latest, greatest Jamie Pollard project, which Iowa State hopes to get underway? Clearly, this would be a recruiting boon for Iowa State, but Matt Campbell addressed the rollout of the feasibility study in Ames today.
I know you're focused on football, but I assume you know, Jamie showed you all the stuff that maybe they're planning over there. Between the Sports Performance Center and, I guess, what they announced today, what are your general thoughts on just what this athletic department is trying to do?
Yeah, you know, I would tell you from my end, you know, it's what I really appreciate about our university, about Jamie, you know, President Winterstein, their commitment to the student athlete experience. It's been second to none since I've been here, to be quite honest with you. And I really appreciate it. I really appreciate, you know, where we're going as a university, and certainly where we're all trying to go from it as an athletic department. And, you know, that's why you feel such an onus on our end as a football program to continue to push the needle forward, because you see the commitment by so many people around us right now. So just grateful, appreciative, and, you know, appreciative that we want to continue to work to move forward as a university.
Highlights of what Matt Campbell had to say this week with his weekly media address. The Cyclones take on ULM Saturday on 1600 AM. We'll take a quick timeout. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio after this.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
And we welcome you back in the two-minute warning on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Invite you to tune in tomorrow. Local programming will return at 3 o'clock with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery at Third Base. You're practically home. Scott and Mark talked with the voice of the Hawkeyes, Gary Dolphin, earlier today. You can download the podcast. It's available now at KGYMRadio.com. They're through two innings in Pittsburgh. Mitch Keller and the Pirates looking for his second career Major League victory. They're going to have to come from behind to give it to him. Seattle still on top of Pittsburgh, 1-0. Cubs ready to continue hosting the Cincinnati Reds tonight at Wrigley Field. Yu Darvish and Sonny Gray, the pitching matchup. White Sox and Twins already in the bottom of the first inning. That game is scoreless at Target Field. We're going to take you there on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, momentarily. Everybody else, well, you got baseball coming your way, too. They are through three outs in St. Louis. Washington and the Cardinals, scoreless. Washington with a half-game lead on the Cubs in the National League wildcard race for home field advantage. The Cardinals with a two-game lead over Chicago in the NL West standings. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you're the Cubs, you don't have anybody to root for in that contest. So baseball on the way tonight, coming up on the program tomorrow. Not one, but two opportunities for you to take home a gift card to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue. One of them will come your way in the 5 o'clock faceoff. Plus, Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answers all your fantasy football questions. And let's face it, there are going to be a number of them after a series of costly injuries, especially at the quarterback position. What do you do with Juju Smith-Schuster if you're an owner? His value is not going to be the same without Ben Roethlisberger. There's no doubt about that. We'll ask Tristan that and more. And Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. Oh, baby, I love this segment. You and I coming off a bye week, gearing up for Idaho State Saturday in Cedar Falls. It's all coming up tomorrow on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 106.3, 107.5 FM. We'll talk to you Wednesday.